It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Owen J.J. Stone is here. Georgia Dow is here. My buddy Andy Inoko from MacBreak Weekly. Yes, we will talk about WWDC and what you won't see at WWDC. How K-pop stans and TikTok fans ruined Trump's rally. And then Owen and I are going to compare grills. It's all coming up on TWiT. This Week in Tech comes to you from TWiT's LastPass Studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise-level security simple for your remote workforce. Check out LastPass.com/TWiT to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 776, recorded Sunday, June 21st, 2020. Fat boying it all day. This episode of This Week in Tech is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning. A lot of things are changing in our professional lives. With over 16,000 courses taught by industry experts, LinkedIn Learning is where you can get skills like how to master working from home, entrepreneurship foundations, or how to be a resilient leader, to name a few. Try 1 month free at linkedinlearning.com/TWiT. And by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/TWiT. And by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. Thinking about moving your data storage to the cloud? Wasabi is enterprise-class cloud storage at 1/5 the price of Amazon S3 and faster than the competition, with no fees for egress or API requests and no complex storage tiers. Start a free trial at wasabi.com. Enter the offer code TWIT. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. It's Father's Day, so I'm wearing my flamingo shirt. That's it. That's the entire celebration right there. It's over. We'll say hello to our panel today. It's going to be a good one. We've got Andy Inoko here from WGBH in Boston, Boston Public Radio, and, of course, a regular host on MacBreak Weekly. It's good to have you, Andy. Thanks for being here. I rarely get to do this show, so I'm really glad to have you on.
Well, because today is the Lord's Day, I'm usually tied up in mass.
I shouldn't laugh, but I am. Okay, I shouldn't laugh. You might be sincere.
I don't know. I'm not the most. Everything I know about the Bible is things that Linus has said in Peanuts. So,
that's a pretty good collection, actually. Also with us, Owen J.J. Stone, Doctor. From IQMZ, and a great page on IQMZ in your lower third. I want to recommend everybody check it out because I just looked at it myself. IQMZ.com/thesystem, which is a compilation of videos from a variety of sources and some history about the system that we all grew up in. But, fish and water, sometimes if you grow up in something, you don't see it. It's not there. So this is an eye-opener. It's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Doctor on the Twitter. Also joining us from Canada, the land of the north, where everything is better but a little bit blue. It's Georgia Dow, anxiety-videos.com. And she's giving out her email address, that's on the lower third. I'll give it out again a little later. That's what you said last time, Yaron. If you're having a little hard time, you could send her a note because she's a trained psychotherapist and she can talk you off the ledge. Hello, Georgia.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. Nice to see you. Nice to see all of you. The best thing is at the end of the week to get together with people I really love and talk about the week's news. What did you want to say, Owen?
Can I break in and break a rule? Normally, at the end of the show, I give people a message. But since it's Father's Day, I just want to give a Father's Day message.
Please,
out there.
Please, kick it off. Dad's
love, okay? So the moment my child was born, my dad was outside the room, and I'm holding my child, and my dad walked in the room, I started crying like a baby. I looked at my child. I looked at my dad. I said, you loved me this much? Like, you love me this much? I can't believe in my heart that you've loved me like this my whole life. Like, I love you, Dad, and I know that you – but to know having my own child looking back at me, and that it made me love you him 10 times more. And so every time one of my friends has a child, I try to give them a little bit of time, but usually by the next day I call them and I say, how amazing is it to know that someone loved you that much? You can get married, you can get dogs, you can do all kinds of stuff, but there's nothing like having your child in your hands and looking at your child. That is the unconditional love, and that is an amazing bond. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there doing their job and kicking butt. And isn't it amazing to know that someone loves you the way that you loved your child? And it is a beautiful thing. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there in these streets.
Oh, that is really well put. Thank you, Owen. That's really true, too. You don't really know what it's like to be a parent until you're a parent.
Yeah. Like, I literally, like, he walked in the room, and I'm holding her, and I just started crying. And I was like, I can't believe your heart had the capacity to do this for me. And I mean, my dad was always good. My dad loved me and stuff. But I was like, oh, you really, really love me. Like, yelled at, got the trash. I was like, he don't love me. He don't care. But I'd be like, he really, like, without a 1,000% with everything in his being, loved me. And that is an amazing feeling for anybody who gets to have it, mother or father.
That's really awesome. Oh, I am supposed to console you, both of you, on your lost Friday. we had our after hours this week was Texas Hold'em Poker combined with an Ask Me Anything. It was kind of an unusual mix. And I think you can blame the distraction of the questions on your law. Who took the pot? I didn't get to see it yet. Who took the pot?
Ian, the mustache man.
Of course he did.
He did. Padre was close, though.
Yeah. Padre, Ian Thompson, and, of course, Jason Howell, who ran out of money early on, but his rendition of the Spice Girls to get more money, I did see that. That was pretty special.
Yeah, he had to shake it a little bit to get some extra coin.
If you want to be,
I think he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. He went all out. The eyes at the end. He was like, he had it all. He was doing it.
Oh, and then he didn't. So they re-bankrolled him. I guess that's good.
Oh yeah, he earned that.
I should also say thank you for joining us on Juneteenth. And I was very proud. We had a donation button on the event the whole time. So I don't know how much money we managed to raise for Black Lives Matter, but I'm glad we could do that as well.
So I was losing money while y'all were raising money. I demand a refund.
Poor Owen has come out on the wrong side of the stick a couple of times. You know what? Florence Ion has not yet cracked my Bitcoin wallet. Would you like a try at it, Owen?
I'll put it out there to Anonymous. I'm going to get in that thing.
Let Anonymous break it. Let Anonymous do it.
My daughter's on Anonymous's list. Boy, apparently my daughter tweets at them all the time. They be tweeting back at her. She's about to be an Anonymous. Well, I know I'm about to get these coins, Uncle Leo. She's about to join the...
I have a... if she wants, I have a V for Vendetta mask she could borrow.
If she...
need that.
She didn't need that?
Oh, no, we need that.
Oh, you didn't need that. I'll send it off to you. I have both that and the fake Mr. Robot V for Vendetta mask. They don't look the same. It's kind of funny, but they're suggestive of one another, I guess is the point.
At least you got something in pop culture right. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. You know, I'm proud that I don't know anything about pop culture. Nothing.
There's not enough room in your brain.
That's not enough room in my brain. That's right.
You're like, there's 42 diodes in the third chip that was made in 1874. Third to the right. Everybody knows that.
I don't even know that anymore. It's all going. It's trickling out like sand in a sandbag with a little hole in it. It's just trickling out.
Come on. Be honest. Aren't you happy you can still remember your library card number from when you were like 9 or 10 years old?
Those things never go, yeah. I know my CompuServe ID. 75106,3135. A lot of good that's going to be.
Nerd.
Tomorrow is WWDC 2020, the kickoff. We will do our live coverage of the keynote from the Steve Jobs Theater, empty, I presume, 10 a.m. Pacific. Micah Sargent and I will be sitting right here. I'm a little excited about WWDC. We've been talking about it, and we talked about it on MacBreak Weekly at length. last couple of weeks. But there was a suggestion for some time that there might be some new hardware, like a new iMac, maybe a new Apple TV. John Prosser, who is the premier Apple leaker these days, and Max Weinbach both said any new hardware reveal at WWDC tomorrow has been scrapped. So if you were waiting for a new iPad Pro or a new iMac or a new Apple TV or new AirPod Studio, AirTags, which we know are in the future somewhere, not tomorrow.
That's the one that's really disappointed.
Yeah. I'll be I'm with you, Andy. I will be devastated if I don't get my AirTags. Hopefully they're wrong, at least about the AirTags, because I think those could be, if done well, I think that they could be really life-changing. So.
Yeah. I mean, if half of what we've heard about these things is true, that they're not just it's not just Apple pointing at, hey, you know, these Bluetooth LE trackers, let's do one of them, too. But as opposed to let's get support for really, really precise location through hardware in our phones so that they can be more useful than a vague, oh, some dude on a bike passed by where your bag used to be 10 hours ago, as opposed to, no, here's exactly where your dog, here's exactly where your cat is hiding, or here's the room that you left that you left your keys in that one time. And it really was the only, apart from the iMac, it was the only piece of hardware that I thought was, I at least was anticipating some sort of an announcement about. So it's I hope that AirTags counts as an accessory, as a lifestyle add-on, and not technically as a piece of hardware, because I would love to finally see a demo of it.
If it, and by the way, Mark Gurman confirms that he heard this too. If you have three of the top Apple rumor leakers saying this, it seems likely to me that they were told this by Apple, in effect, that Apple said, and Apple wanted this to go out. And of course they would, because if they weren't going to announce anything tomorrow and everybody expected something, that would be a pall over the, there'd be a lot of disappointment. So I'm not, but why, George, do you think Apple would have, I mean, surely they've got tags ready. Why would they be holding on?
I don't know. I would think that there's something that they need to wait on. I would like for them, even if they're not going to release them soon, that we can just go through them. Give me a little bit of excitement. I think that people need it right now. And I think that this could be really helpful to everyone. So I'm hoping they still release AirTags. I know everyone else is, it's the Max, and I'm good with just, you know, give me my tags so that I can, you know, find my dog and my children and my phone and my car and myself and my purse. I would love that. I would love it. I need a little bit of all of that. So I think that it would be that they weren't ready.
If I could just put a tag.
Yeah, wouldn't you have them? I would have like 12.
Everywhere. Well, we had Tracker as an advertiser, and I've used both the Tracker and the Tile. They're both Bluetooth trackers, but I get the feeling that what Apple's doing is a little different from that.
Yeah. One of the rumors around it is that it is Bluetooth LE, but it's also based on some of the custom Bluetooth hardware and the Bluetooth wireless hardware that is inside every single iPhone already.
This UWB chip.
Yeah.
And that's weird, because they put this in the iPhone. It's been out 6 months. The only thing I know of that it uses it is the AirDrop, where you can point it at the person that you're going to send it to. That seems like such a trivial use for something clearly that added to the cost of build. On the iPhone. Why would they must have expected AirTags before this?
Well, not just that, but remember that Apple. I'm sorry, I'll make that quick. When you realize that Apple builds iPhones to last 4 or 5 years, they could put that chip in, anticipating an announcement 2 or 3 years from now, and still decide that it's cheap enough and it's relevant enough to put this inside every hardware. Particularly if we put it inside the hardware at a point where not everybody's going to use it, so it's not going to cause anything to blow up.
So if this stuff, if they announce something, they're going to announce it, right? They're going to release it. Here's the problem. The world is upside down. So you getting a hold of one is probably their issue. Because you know how they always have their first wave and then there's a stall and then the next wave comes in, because they only make so many of something with their expectations of their first wave. But something like this, they might have a production problem.
Could be, yes.
Like only have X amount. And some people like Georgia, you have my email. You might want to email me. You sound like you're about to have super duper sadness in your heart if you don't get one of these texts.
I will. I really will. If we get nothing at all, I will be sad. Like, I like software
particularly
updates.
Something you could
great.
Afford.
Or Uncle Leo missing out on his Tibet trip. You just have so much sadness in your heart about these tags. I just want you to be warned. There's only 14 of them. And there's a lot of Apple nerds on YouTube that get first dibs. So just relax. Know that they're coming, but you probably won't get one. That's going to be the issue. You're probably not going to get one, but they will be out in the world. That's my thought process on that.
Isn't that funny? Because, of course, it could just be that there's a production issue. The world is locked down under pandemic.
Yeah.
But we've all kind of, at least I have in my mind, kind of said, oh, China's back open again. They're kind of open. They're not fully open. They kept saying iPhone production for the iPhone 12 is on track and things like that. But who knows? Maybe they couldn't make them. Maybe it wasn't important enough to devote limited factory capability to those.
They got behind on other things that they need to get made. So it's not just about having...
Got to make the iPhone. They can't not make the iPhone.
Phones. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's a level of production and importance there. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Like I said, we're going to find out tomorrow what they say. I know they're going to come out. I know they're going to have them, but they're only going to have 12.
It's a very important point.
12 yeah. to share.
Very important point. You get two. I'll take two. Apple is reclosing.
Yeah.
Apple is reclosing some stores, 11 stores that were reopened in Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Are being closed due to COVID spikes in that area. So, you know, that's another probably factor in this. Apple's slowly been reopening its U.S. stores and stores around the world with some, you know, obvious precautions. You have to get your temperature taken. You have to answer some health questions. You also have to socially distance when you're in there. And most importantly, you must wear a mask inside. Nevertheless, they decided, even though they've reopened a majority of U.S. retail stores, they're going to reclose 11 of them in those hard-hit states. I just feel like it's going to be hard-hit in a lot of places. So maybe that store opening was a little premature. I don't know.
Well, both Florida is kind of famous for being super, super aggressive with the kind of the political end of, oh, we've got to get everything reopened as quickly as possible. So... It's similarly, Arizona was also a lot of governors that have been really on the bandwagon of this isn't a medical crisis. This is a political crisis. And then secondarily, it's a financial crisis. It's only number three, a health crisis, have been sort of racing to get things back to as normal as possible, as quickly as possible. And these are the places that we're seeing these resurgent spikes. So I don't know. Maybe this is going to be like a maker of a political ad saying the reason why you can't get these new beautiful air tags from Apple is because your Republican governor decided to reopen.
Possibly, although I have to say it's spiking in other places too, including I think here in California, we're going to start to see a spike. But that's not fun, so let's not talk about that anymore. Let's talk some more about WWDC.
Okay.
Maybe
we'll get to see the new Super Pro AirPods.
No, we're not going to see any hardware. AirPods. Any? They said no.
I mean that's the other big disappointment. If that was true, I mean it makes sense that they would kind of wait for an iPhone event, but given that we've seen like sneaks of that in help files and info files that have been embedded in like pre-release iOS, at least somebody at some point thought that was going to be imminent a few months ago.
No, it seemed to me a very well-sourced leak because you even had images of a new iMac, a new small bezel iMac. The tags have been, for sure, must have been available by now. So there's something, you know, who knows? And it could also be Apple's dampening down the expectations. So when they announce only five new products, people will be very, very happy. You know, I feel like Apple plays us like a fiddle.
And they don't have seals this year, so it's going to be rough for them to do their whole song and dance.
Yeah, they don't have the applause.
Current claps.
Yeah.
Have Apple.
Yeah. I bet there'll be some workers that are in there that will cheer like extra loud. Like they'll be like 10% less, so they have to cheer 10% more. I'm sure it won't just be dead air. I'm sure
Here's a little tip. If you're at an event that didn't have the turnout people expected for whatever reason. I learned this at when I used to do Live with Regis and Kelly. Their producer Gelman would come out to do the warm-up before every show. And the funny thing is, he got great laughs, but he said exactly the same thing every single time. Yeah. It never varied. One of the things he said is, if you clap faster, it sounds like there's more people. Just a little tip, clap three times faster, it sounds like there's 19,000 people in that arena. Just clap faster. That's the key.
I'm just hoping that it'll be like the old Tom Snyder show where it's just all about trying to make the crew laugh.
So it's just like I love that.
The person's running the Snapchat, running the camera.
Yeah, you, Tim, you nailed it. Yeah, I can see Tim Cook talking to the camera guy. Alex, you know what I'm saying, Alex? You know what I'm saying, right? I did watch that show with I can't believe you must be the only person on this panel who remembers Tom Snyder and besides me.
I used to watch Letterman and then watch Tom Snyder.
Loved that show.
And so just knowing that all he wanted to do was make those six union guys laugh, and that was pretty much it. But you also have a point. There's today the New York Times had, I think, their first sticking their neck out prediction of, oh, well, according to unnamed sources that we have inside Apple, Apple is definitely going to be transitioning to ARM processors away from Intel. And whenever that happens, like immediately at a time where it's really useful for Apple to for a piece of Apple news to come out, I don't know that it was an authorized leak, but that's the sort of thing where I start to wonder if we're seeing some manipulation here, that this is Apple wanted a big story to be out in the newspaper of record the day before to sort of soften the ground for announcements that they're going to have.
I do think that and by the way, I think from now on we should no longer say it's a transition to ARM, because I think that misrepresents it.
Oh, true.
Apple leaving Intel for its own chips is really isn't that a more accurate way to put it?
And it's the way that they'll describe it when it happens.
They're not going to say ARM.
No one knows what ARM is. They'll say, here's all the things we can do now. They're gonna go into here's the amazing things we've been able to do with the iPhone's performance and the iPad's performance and the iPhone and iPad's features. Like here's the reason why there's Touch ID, biometric ID on every single iOS device that we ship. Excuse me, on all the iPhones and iPads, but we've only been able to recently put it on the Macs. It's because we were able to bake that stuff right into the CPUs, and now we're going to make Macs just as good as the iPhones and the iPads, which I think has been
Apple's
big aria for the past 3-4 years.
Oh, that is a very interesting way to put it. Because one of the concerns people who have an experience with ARM, particularly Windows on ARM, have is that it's going to be not very performant. That Windows on ARM is a pig; it's awful. But they're using off-the-shelf Qualcomm chips primarily. So Apple's got to fight that perception. I think that's a very good point. Look how fast our iPad Pro is. We wanted to bring all that power and performance to our desktops. It's a much better story.
And to be fair, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not going to say I've killed them, but I got a shovel in my backyard and a whole bunch of Intel chips are in there, boy.
Are you all AMD now? Have you moved to the Ryzen? Yes. Look at that.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about my new system. Okay, let me look at it.
Look at it. Love it while you're talking about it. Give it a love.
You never knew you could love a computer so much.
Dad.
Oh, yeah. Got a brother right here. This is baby boy right here. AMD 3900.
Ooh.
DDR Corsair Dominator RAM, 128 gigs. Don't ask me what I'm rendering. I just think I want to. I don't even do enough to do. The most I do is 4K video, which is blazing fast at the moment. That's just blinkety blinking in my face. Okay, I got 8 gig video caught up in this thing. I got the Corsair cooling and water cooling this piece. I'm you so sexy. Look, the Dominant RAM knows where it's at, though, brother. AMD is out here destroying Intel, and now
it's true.
Intel too. Intel is the new girl sitting in the corner that can't dance at the party. Why'd you come? You don't dance. You used to shake it for us, but now you don't. So now you're sitting there in the chair, and we got ARM over here dancing, having fun. We got AMD over here breakdancing and bringing everybody onto the floor. And Intel just a sad, sad, sad representation of what it used to be.
I love that when you're talking about it, Owen, it almost sounds like even more enthusiastic when you're talking about the birth of your child, which I know it isn't because I know how much you love her. But I see that excitement that's coming through your computer. My husband's the same way, so I totally get it.
This thing helps me out. You know what I mean? When Liam takes the trash out as fast, this thing is bumping. Oh.
I'm totally with you. If I were in the showroom and I'm looking at, okay, well, here's the new Mac Pro, here's the new iMac Pro, and then the salesperson wanted to get me to swing me towards like a more high profitability Windows machine, saying, like, well, this one's got the Threadripper. You mean that I could get a computer with a Threadripper?
Wow. Yeah. That's it's very Hulk.
On the Mac, but on the Mac you can get the i7 based on Icy Lake 10th generation.
It's too icy.
I want a Threadripper. I'm such a man. I was making fun of you about men in cars, but it is just like that. I saw a millimeter RAM, and I said to myself, I don't care that this RAM costs $650. I don't care. I don't really need it, but in case I got to have it.
You got it.
That's right. There we go.
Our show today brought to you by LinkedIn Learning. I know you guys we've loved LinkedIn Learning for years. We've been talking about it for years. Part of that is because I know a lot of the teachers there. Some of the best people in photography, Photoshop, in my area teach at LinkedIn. But boy, they have a lot of courses. And it's not just geeky subjects. It's courses always taught by industry experts. There's more than 16,000 courses on LinkedIn Learning, beautifully shot, but in a variety of skills. I mean, there are skills like how to master working from home. There's entrepreneurship courses. There's one called Entrepreneurship Foundations. How to be a resilient leader. Everything you need. 10 ways to stay motivated while job hunting. Marketing on LinkedIn. This is the one I've got to take. It's called simply Grit. Grit. How teams persevere to accomplish great goals. It is LinkedInLearning.com/twit. You'll get custom tailored course recommendations. And it's more than just some old video thrown up on YouTube. But not only is there a series, and they're nice and short chunks so you can absorb them at your break time or whenever you get a chance, but each lesson has project files and quizzes. So it's really in a whole custom curriculum. You really will learn. And courses are available anytime you need them on a computer, on a phone. You'll get a certificate that you can print when you complete a course, or do what I do, put it on your LinkedIn profile. LinkedIn Learning is where you can grow your skills, grow your career, learn from expert instructors, and connect with a global network of experience. And I bet you can find a course or two that you'd like to take right now. Well, here's some good news. You could try a month free right now at LinkedInLearning.com/twit. Keep learning the skills you need to rise to any moment. Some great stuff there. Always have been a big fan. LinkedInLearning.com/twit. It's time now is a good time to learn. Thank you, LinkedIn Learning, for supporting This Week in Tech. Apple is sending out these beautiful, you know, the part of the reason people love WWC is the jackets and the pins. Nobody's going, so there's no jackets and pins, but they are sending them out to their winners in the Global Swift Student Challenge. And these are the pins. There's an apple. There's also the applications icon. There's a 2020 icon. There's a juice box with an apple on it. I love that. A chili guy. It's kind of like an emoji, but he's chilling. California Republic bear flag. That's their state flag. Some googly eyes. But my favorite is this one, the unicorn looking over the top of a laptop lid, a MacBook lid.
I want that so bad.
Isn't
I need
that awesome?
Yeah, the unicorn.
Oh, man. And
I need someone just to send me the unicorn. You can have the rest of them.
Well,
that's my daughter's logo, so I was going to give her the unicorn. So somebody find me that unicorn.
350 winners in the Swift Student Challenge. They're going to get their pin sets, and they're going to get their beautiful jackets. And that's pretty cool. The jacket, I may be overstating things a bit to say beautiful.
Chat room said members only.
Not sure about the jacket.
It's only jacket.
Members only. It's a, what is that design? I'm not sure. It looks like it would go well at the roller skating rink when it's, skate backwards.
Does it say something on it? Is it written or is it just?
Well, there's a tag that says WWDC20. But I imagine sometimes there's something inside that's in the past they've been reversible, but they're not showing it. Well, maybe this is just a winner. So this isn't Apple's picture of it, so maybe it is reversible. I don't know. So see, there's a zipper pull that says it. So a more group, there's a, it's, here's a more blue green. Now there's going to be a debate. Is it pink? Is it blue? We don't know what color it is.
It's a little purpley to me.
Purpley. We might get to see it tomorrow. The stripes do not say anything. They look a little bit like bling. Look like they blinged the jacket. So ARM, I'm sorry, I did it. See, it's easy to do, Andy, isn't it? The Apple chip transition will be beginning tomorrow. I believe that's going to happen. And we know there'll be iOS 14, which will have some new features, like the you could start your car with it. Car not included. I don't know. How can you? There's not much more you can do. I'm hoping that they will come through on the rumor that there will be widgets on the screen.
Yeah, there's a lot that they can do now, particularly now that they've really aggressively moved towards, hey, the iPad is not just this amorphous device that does a whole bunch of stuff. They really are saying that we're giving you as much value for $1,000 as $1,000 spent on Windows or any other sort of device. So I'm hoping that this means that they improve iPad OS, and they improve the launcher, they do things to make it more feature for feature competitive with a computer that runs a desktop OS and can conceivably do anything. And I think that we're hearing a lot of rumors towards that effect.
Yeah.
It'll be closer, but it's still going to, like, you know, it's not, anything is probably too far, right? Like, they're not going to fix Siri. We're still going to get,
no,
you know.
No. Will they, Siri, I guess, right? If they're not going to announce any new hardware, I'm going to have to buy an Apple TV because mine's on the fritz. I was waiting. The HomePod, there were lots of rumors they might have a small HomePod, a less expensive HomePod. That thing has been a unicorn, speaking of unicorns, all by itself for more than a year now. It seems like it's almost 2 years.
Do anything with that. There's no market share that they can. There's too many good smart speakers out there right now.
You'd be nuts to buy it.
Yeah, I don't know who bought it. Besides, like, if you bought one of those, you have an addiction and you're a super fanboy.
Yeah.
Because there's no other reason to get it.
Yeah.
Siri is trash. Like, right now, Amazon, I can literally put Amazon in my nostril right now. They got a speaker for my nostril where I can talk to my face and get information. Like, there's no way Apple can compete with
a smile. It's a blink.
It's just bad for them. So I don't know. That should just die off until they buy something else.
It's a very weird product, and it may well be that it is on its way out.
I like it for sound. I think the sound is pretty good.
Fine,
I
but
do
it's not,
have.
But there's a billion other things that have not, great sound.
Yeah,
I guess that's right.
But it's smart features. Right. It doesn't help you. You just complained and wanted Siri to be better.
There is a rumor. There is a rumor.
She makes me angry. She makes me angry.
There is a rumor. This is exciting. You'll be able to put Spotify on it.
Oh. You know, I want to be able to whisper to Siri and she doesn't scream at me back.
Yeah, because she doesn't know what's going on.
She does. They need to give her a little bit of an intelligence upgrade. Yeah. So you're right.
I said hi to Google the other day because I have both, obviously. And I was like, I said something. I was like, and Google's like, are you doing okay? The world's in a rough time.
Wow.
You're okay.
I think that's a little intrusive, to be honest with you.
Go get my little foot tub and then rub that. Appreciate.
No, you're absolutely Siri, right.
Don't write checks you can't cash, Google.
Yeah, I don't think Siri is garbage, but man, when you compare it to either of the two alternatives,
it's not even close.
Yeah, and it doesn't do the thing that Apple stuff is supposed to do, which is to really create a sense of joy about it. But then there's the simple failure.
No, it does not do that.
Have you tried hey, the floor is lava? And I was like, oh no, the floor is lava. And then they'll be like earthquaking because you're supposed to, like, then you're with your kids, like, for the next 30 seconds, like, not step on the floor. I'm like, all right, someone got paid to do that. And I approve of that. But it's not just the software. It's that, so great. If I want a smart speaker from Apple, I have to spend hundreds of dollars on a speaker that's not necessarily better than another smart speaker that's costing much money. But also, I want one of these too in the lineup. I want one of these, like, next to my guests so I don't have to shout into the next room so that the one smart speaker that I can afford can actually set a reminder or tell me whether I need a jacket or do any of the other soul comforting things that these things do. When you can spend anywhere from $30 to for a basic one to $100 for one with a very good speaker to now $100 for one with an actual screen on it, Apple is just as not doesn't seem to be interested in competing on this level. They just seem
honestly
to think that
it honestly feels like you cannot say Apple's heart is in this unless they do that, and they haven't. And it's been 2 years and they haven't.
But yeah. they did do it. Apple's response is, you have crack cocaine in your hand at all time. This is the little speaker that you carry around that you can talk to.
Your phone is the $30. Yeah. Yeah.
This you in the bathroom, yeah. The car, the closet, if you're in the pool. You got it right here with you.
Do any of you listen to music on your iPhone speakers? No.
No. I do.
What?
I do. It's with me. I don't have to worry about the kids changing the state, like whatever playlist I have.
So you just grit your teeth and say, I know this sounds like an AM radio, but it's okay.
You know what? I don't even care. I'm not really an audiophile. I don't really even care. I just want to get into the zone. I have my own jam and I don't have to worry. But Andy, you are so right. I'm going to ask more often to people, does Siri bring you joy? We're going to Marie Kondo this.
Does not
and be
spark
like,
joy.
Does yeah. not. Does not. No. Often no, anger. Yes. Many times frustration. Right. Sometimes you're just shaking your head. But I do play music on my phone all the time.
By the way, Andy, I just want to mention that at least two people in the chat room said you just turned their floor into lava.
So. But did you I just hope they found a nice place to stand on so they didn't get burnt by the time it ended.
That's
this.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I even like the fact that like I'll do like in the morning or when I'm going to bed, I'll have to like, oh, remind me of this and oh, wake me up at this time and then whatever. And then at the end, just to turn off the microphone, I will say thank you and we'll say happy to help. I'm like,
that's
isn't
nice.
That nice? Thank it. I'm worried that people spend so much time talking to speakers like little kids that they forget that you're supposed to say please and thank you. So I'm glad that these devices now reward us for good behavior.
It's a fine line.
Treat each other
because you want it to be funny, you want it to be cute, you want it to be entertaining, you want it to ask you from time to time how you're feeling, but you don't want it to do that too often. Because then it's just you want to throw it through the window. So it's got to be hard to design these things. Maybe we don't know the best way to do it. It is, as is often the case around this time, Apple is also heading into some controversy with the Hey email app. Andy, you were with me on MacBreak Weekly when Alex Lindsay launched into a spirited defense of Apple's right to take 30% of anything on its platform. They built the platform. They put a lot of R&D into it. And gosh darn it, if you want to be on it, it's fair for Apple to charge you 30% to be in the store. Hey is an email program that Apple has refused because they don't have an in-app subscription. It's $100 a year email service, but they didn't put it, and they are refusing to put it in the app. The reason it's important is it comes from Basecamp, Jason Fried and David Hanemeyer Hansen, who are very well known, highly respected. And I think there's a certain amount of excitement. I signed up immediately after reading about Hey.com because it's an interesting take on email. But Phil Schiller says, nope, we're not going to change the rules. And until Hey offers in-app purchases of their service, it ain't going to happen. Is Apple right or wrong on this? Now, Andy, you and I got to tussle, and Renee got to tussle a little bit with Alex. Or actually, Renee wasn't there. Lori Gill got a little tussle with Alex, but Alex was really adamant. What do you think, Georgia? Should Apple relent and let Hey be in the App Store without in-app purchases?
I think they should. I think they should actually overhaul the entire system. I think that 30%, like there's so many developers that aren't making anything and you already have to pay for the developer kit. Like, I think that it should be like a percentage of how much you make, right? So if you're a new struggling developer, it should be a very small amount of percentage that they make. I think that if you're a bigger developer, you could make a larger percentage and it's not going to hurt Apple. And I think they should be a little bit more open about not trying to squeeze every single person for as much as they can get, because it's not like Apple's struggling. So I think that a lot of the people are recognizing these large trillion-dollar, billion-dollar companies are kind of swallowing up all the things that are good in the world, and there's a lot of backlash because of that, and I think it would cost Apple very little for a lot of goodwill.
30%. It seems like a lot, especially and now you can buy the service online, and that's what Basecamp wants you to do, is pay for it online and then download an app. Their contention is it's kind of like the Kindle app. It's just an email reader. It lets you read your email, but the service is separate. Apple says, no, that's not a reader app. And so you have to do it differently. Owen, you have an opinion on this? I think you do.
I do. I'm anti-Apple in most ways other than my phone and my watch and my iPad and my Mini.
Me too. I'm with you there. I hate Apple except for my iMac Pro and my MacBook Pro and my MacBook Air and my I hate them and the Apple Watch. I hate them.
The thing that drives me crazy is, do you want to play in the NBA or do you want to play in the Circus League? Do you want to play in the NFL or do you want to play in the XFL? Because when somebody has a major league and they make the rules, either you play by the rules or you don't.
Right.
Here's the thing. Apple is Apple, which gives everyone the benefit of having the possibility of having that one-hit wonder app and make a bajillion dollars. Yes, a lot of people are struggling, but they've also made a mint for a lot of companies that would have never have made a dime anywhere else. They got Android that's free. Why aren't you out there making a mint on Android? Because you can't. So the payment structure to Apple is facilitated, the brand facilitation that they have, the quality control that they have. If you don't want to pay, then you don't want to play. I really don't have a problem with it. Now, if you want to say 30% is too high, so sure, let's cut it down to 20%. And then 10 years will be crying about 20%. Then you'll be down to 10%. And then Apple won't have any money. And then I won't have to pay $1,000-something for this phone. So Apple makes the rules because it's their company, and that's the way it goes. Either you pay to play or you don't. I don't care about companies crying about it. I don't care about people trying to get around it. Go ahead and make your application so great that it makes me switch from my iPhone to a Samsung, and then I'll come and get your email. Hey, how you doing about that? I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and I, you know, Apple, the other complaint people make is not necessarily that they want the 30%, but that they're just not consistent in the application of these rules, that some email programs that don't do this are on the App Store. Apple's, in its letter to Basecamp, said, look, your app doesn't do anything. It doesn't read email unless you pay $100 on hey.com to get it. And we don't want an app on our phone that doesn't do anything unless you pay, you know, outside to turn it on. And if you're going to do that, you have to have it in the app. And that's a reasonable thing from an end user. Their position is, look, end users are going to download the app and say, well, now what? And there's no way they can do anything in the app. So I don't disagree that that's a problem. And I also think that Basecamp is very happy to have this controversy going on because a hell of a lot more people know about hey.com than did before.
You know what they'll do? They'll bump it up to 115. And then put it in the App Store, and then the margin
could charge us.
They they're just going to get free advertisement because we're here talking about
that. By the way, is the basis for a class action lawsuit the Supreme Court allowed to go forward last year against the App Store, saying you're in effect charging end users this because the companies just passed the 30% along in their price. And that's a case that is ongoing, so we'll keep an eye on that.
For me, it's a question of Apple is running the risk of turning into Ticketmaster, where for the most part, the idea that they're establishing this app store and all these APIs and Xcode to allow you to create a word processor or a game and then sell it through the store. They will handle all the distribution. They will handle all the taking of the money and that sort of thing. And that's when you start to say, okay, well, here's all the things they're doing for this thing, which is a piece of software. But then when you get into situations like, why are they insisting that why can't I simply buy books through the Kindle app? Why can't I buy comic books through the Comixology app? And you start to ask yourself, well, what the hell are they doing that would entitle them to 30% of my Superman comic? That's the sort of thing that they want to avoid, because I do see the need for developers to pay something into this. This Apple can't simply run this as a charity. This is something that they are delivering value, providing a service, and they deserve to be paid for that service. But there are certainly exceptions to this, where again you say, why is this $75 ticket costing me $156? What is Ticketmaster doing to justify a $75 like add-on to this purchase price? When the answer is no, I'm not upset with the venue promoter, I'm not upset with the band, I'm upset with Ticketmaster. And the second problem is always that something that's been very consistent, which is the inconsistency with which Apple seems to promote its rules for the App Store. Apple said that, well, the only reason why your iOS app got accepted to begin with was because of a mistake. We shouldn't have let it in to begin with. And there are so many times I've talked to developers where they've had problems exactly like this, where an app on a totally non-controversial sort of issue that they've been submitting and updating this app for 3 or 4 years, and now suddenly they produce an update and it gets rejected because they're saying that, oh well, 3 years ago you should have switched from using this API for time or for text or for whatever to this new API, and for that reason we're rejecting it. And then they'll say, well, we talked to you 3 years ago and told you that there's no way we can make our app work with this change that you're suggesting, and their response is, well, nonetheless. So it's a problem for people who think that Apple is cheating them out of a lot of money, but it's also indicative of how powerless a lot of developers feel when they're trying to deal with this black box whose judgments are not to be tampered with or questioned.
I think that's the real complaint.
Which is the problem, right?
Is
the power differentials that if your app gets thrown out, there's nothing that you can do. If Apple says no for whatever reason they choose to, you can't really do anything, right? If you're a really large company, you probably have big lawyers, and odds are you can kind of put some pressure on it. Or if you're really famous, right? If you're Taylor Swift, you can put pressure on Apple and something could actually happen. But for most developers, they have nothing. There's no recourse. They don't have the money from it because they're not making any money. And they're already having to pay Apple, you know, to be a developer. But, you know, I'll just say it might be controversial, but if like all developers kind of created a union where they were unionized and they had a union that could fight for them versus Apple, then they would have at least a recourse if something that they think is unfair or possibly is unfair happens to them.
And can I just say something on a regular world point? So if I have a business and I go into a strip mall and I rent a storefront and my business is booming and I'm paying rent, and my landlord says, oh, your lease is up, I'm going to raise the rent XYZ because you're making this much money and I want it. Well, do I close up my store and move away or sell it out on the street, across the street? Like, I have to pay this rent. And somebody could.
But you could. You could actually move.
You could. Well, and you, yeah,
right?
You could. You could move to Android. There's another platform out there that's for you that's free. I'm just saying, this is the antithesis of how things work in the world. You're paying rent somewhere because you want to sell your stuff at this storefront. And at some point, things change in the lease and they say, look, you have to do this or do that or you have to move out. We're going to cut your square footage. There's all kinds of things that happen in the regular world. This is average business stuff. And we have a personal affinity to it because we want our apps or we feel like these companies are being trampled upon. But this is just business. And I hate sticking up for Apple like this. It's driving me crazy.
Isn't there a risk,
but it's
though?
It's business in a monopoly, right?
Exactly.
Like, they have a monopoly.
Well,
over the
and this was
store,
Alex's.
So it's different. There's two malls,
this
right?
This was like, Alex's malls, point. Then. Is it isn't a monopoly that in no country does Apple have more than say 50% market share? I don't know what is the market share in the U.S. Maybe in the U.S. they have 80%, but it's not monopoly size. And you do have a choice in that respect. There's also a risk to Apple. And Daniel Jalkut, who is a great developer, Red Sweater Software, posted this on his microblog. Something I haven't emphasized is Apple's approach to Hey.com and others who are actively dissuaded from distributing apps to customers. Basically, Apple saying, yeah, no, you can't distribute this, is it creates a threat to Apple's platforms. There's a point at which both developers and consumers will turn away. Is that a risk that Apple has to be a little more generous because they could lose developers, they could lose users on this?
Somebody just suggested a union, and that's super scary. Go ahead and put that on blast on a loop clip and put it on
your Facebook would block it. Don't worry.
Views on it because that's scary.
No one likes that word.
I'm about to start the Apple app union right now.
Wouldn't that be interesting? A developers union?
2%?
I think it should happen, right? Every single corporation hates two words, union and regulation.
That's right.
So that's one of the two.
So that would be a threat to Apple if developers, but see, I don't see that happening. Developers make too much money. You know, very famously, Tim Sweeney.
It would be an app. The union itself would be an app that then that app would make money from other app developers, would then bring back money. I don't know. I see someone being able to do it.
You pay dues. So I said, I'm trying to run this
union. That in the app store.
I'm about to be Tim Cook. We gotta make some money.
Tim Sweeney, who's the founder of Epic Games and has made billions of dollars, I think he made $7 billion in year one of Fortnite, puts Fortnite on the App Store, mainly because there's no choice, and he gives App that 30% of his billions of dollars because he has to. But notice, he's not putting it there. He tried for a while not to put it on the Android Play Store, but just offer it as a side load, which Android allows you to do. But that became such a problem. He's even given in and he's put it in the Android Play Store. You need those platforms if you want to succeed on either Android or iOS these days. You have to be in the store. On the one hand, in Apple, because you have to. There's no other way. But even on Android, where you have a choice, there's no way to make money. So it's interesting. There's a good test. If Sweeney's not willing to walk away from what must be billions of dollars that Apple's taking out of his pocket with their 30%, then I can't imagine many others doing it. It's just
because he's still making money.
Right.
It's not a hurt to him.
It's
a business. It's the cost of doing business.
It's the cost of doing business. Yeah.
Uncle Leo, don't you have to pay lights and employees?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I can't go to the power company and say, all the businesses in Petaluma have decided not to pay power bills anymore.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
A lot of workers do unionize, right?
That's different.
Police have a union, nurses have a union, and that's how they deal with government funding and what they deal with that, right? Yep.
No, and it works.
So Apple, it would work.
I'm in the union. I'm in the Screen Actors Guild, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists.
I'm the Screen Actors Guild too, my friend.
We're SAG-AFTRA brothers.
We are.
Give it to me, brother. Yeah. Actually, what are you drinking? Hard lemonade? What is that?
I am drinking Spanger. Is it Italian, maybe? Spanger della Grande.
San Pellegrino. Oh, limonata. Oh. That's really good. That's the best. That's good stuff.
I didn't want to butcher it like you did.
San Pellegrino. That's good stuff. I wish I had. Now I want some San Pellegrino.
That's right. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Let's see. What else? So I don't think Apple will say anything about that on the stage tomorrow. Probably not. They probably will say, though, something that they put out in a press release. A new study says the App Store facilitated, this is in 2019, $519 billion in commerce. That's why nobody's taking a boycott on the Apple Store. That's a big number. More than half a trillion.
I think they got me for my average spend in a year is like $300.
Yeah.
I
wonder what the average is. They haven't published that. That would be interesting.
Because somebody hit me with a yearly subscription, and I was super mad because I'm like, what did I just spend $50 on? I'm like, oh, yeah, I still use that. It's cool. I forgot.
Yeah.
So I went and looked at how much money I'd be spending just to check because I had to cut some fat. You know what I mean? I can't cut my own fat, but I can.
Heaven forfend.
Mm-hmm. I really wish that they'd break down those numbers, like on what category of apps, right. Also by number of employees at the company publishing this particular piece of software. Because if they did that, it turns out that we handed out all but $30 of that to game developers, and that was almost all with like in-app game purchases. Because if they want to claim to be a job making juggernaut. I think that they're opening themselves up to questions of, okay, how many jobs are you actually creating? Or are you essentially creating a more effective siphon of dollars from children's parents' pockets? Apple Arcade is a nice thing, but still, anybody who's tried to make it to anyone who's played like a phone-based Marvel game and tried to get anywhere without buying special crystals or new fractals or whatever might want to say, yeah, please don't brag about my lack of will.
That's all the games, though. Like, I play 2K. I don't play Fortnite, but my friends' kids play Fortnite. Call of Duty. You need 20,000 coins. That's what? Okay, that's $15. You need a new gun. Okay, that's $100. Like, that's on my PlayStation and Xbox and PC. So the whole world is in that loop. Now, mind you, that they're not getting that 30% tax, but at the same time, it's mobile. That's how, I mean, like I said, they got the keys.
I'm not saying that pay to play is original, but I am saying that if they really want to boast about how many jobs they're making and how many dollars are putting in the hands of developers, they really should break that out and say here's how many people who are able to pay their phone bill, here's how many people who are able to even afford to keep developing this app, versus here's all the people that are simply able to keep their jobs in an existing gaming company, because the profits aren't coming solely from individual apps being made, but by in-game content that's being sold. I think that's a valid question.
Yeah. But they won't, because it's going to be like, when you do the math, it's going to end up being that so many more are barely, you know, having to make, like, to have three other extra jobs, be able to, you know, continue to develop their application because it's not making enough money. Like, most people don't make much money on the App Store.
Should also mention,
it's just too big.
That on Friday, the EU announced two investigations into Apple. Now, it's the EU. I don't want to be too dismissive, but they are a little bit more aggressive in consumer protection actions. One of the things they're worried about is the commission. The first investigation, prompted by complaints from Spotify and Rakuten, will determine whether Apple has used its digital marketplaces to stifle competition from rivals in the digital services space. Spotify, for instance, says, we can't possibly compete against Apple Music. It's installed on all the phones. Apple, has an incredible advantage. And they even, and the maker, by the way, speaking of Apple tags, the maker of the Tile tag has also testified to Congress, we can't compete against a built-in Apple app. And she's worried. She says we can't compete against Lost My or Find My, but that's not even mentioning tags, which I think that's her greatest fear, of course. And then so that's one issue, is the anti-competitive nature of it. They're worried that it would distort the market, giving Apple's own products an unfair advantage over the competition. And then I think the other is Apple Pay. Because Apple Pay is the only mobile payments tool that can use the NFC built into the iPhone. And the EU says, well, you should let other companies use that NFC chip for their payment services. I think in both cases, Apple can make a strong case. It's better for the consumer. What we do makes sense for the consumer, and that's why we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they can always hide behind the fact that, hey, look, we're not Android, we're not Windows, we're not Facebook, and we're not Twitter, we're not Google. We don't have a dominant market share worldwide in anything. So, if it depends on whether the jurisdiction they're arguing through looks at anti-competitive practices as something that affects consumers or something that affects markets, because they could certainly have a problem defending themselves against the idea that, hey, look, you're allowing yourself. You're allowing your own products to have access to a special blessed sandboxed access to certain really, really important features of your hardware, but you're not letting us, your competitors, have it. That would be a problem. But then if they have to say, well, show me how users are actually paying the price for this. How does this drive up the prices of your product? And how does that mean that it's going to be a harder thing for them to do? I think in principle, I don't know. It depends on how much caffeine, sugar, or sleep I've had the any given day, whether I'm angry at Apple or I'm angry at their accusers. Because the thing is, Apple could not have created something as cool as the Apple ecosystem if they had not simply said, if not for them exploiting the advantage that they have, that, look, we create the hardware, we create the operating system, we create the software people are using, we create the services that they're using. We also have applied that towards the desktop that you're using, the phone you're using, and the tablet you're using. That allows us to create solutions that work so well, to say nothing of also controlling the API and what software can be installed on your system, on your machine, and not, that we are creating. You can't deny that there is an advantage to using our ecosystem than a mishmash of other ecosystems. On the other hand, then again, if I've had more sleep or less sugar or whatever, then I'm like, well, look, damn it. I mean, this is my phone. If I want to install a new bootloader, I should be able to do that. And if this company can't create a really good tracker because you're not letting them have access to NFC, and you're just giving this bogus, and you're simply creating a dogmatic excuse to saying, we are now going to lock down all Mac apps so that you can't install any Mac apps that haven't been approved by the App Store. Well, screw you. You're creating a horrible situation where this is not my computer. So again, it really depends. It really depends on those three things.
I agree. I could go either way. In other words,
yeah, exactly.
I could go either way. I agree. It's hard to know because you know what? There's a definite benefit to Apple's approach.
Yeah.
And of course, it both benefits Apple and consumers for Apple to say we're a gated community and you can only, you know, you only enter if we allow you to enter. That's a good thing for Apple's business, but it's also a good thing for consumers. So it's a difficult one. If Apple were a monopoly, it would not be a problem. Then we would know that this is an issue and we've got to fix it. But Apple is, no, as you said, Georgia, nowhere near a monopoly. So
yeah,
there is
arguably one of the reasons why Google was able to become Google was because the government said, hey, look, you told Microsoft you have the number one desktop platform in the entire world. And now you're about to, because you're bundling your own web browser in with every single installation of Windows, you are not allowing other web browsers to possibly live, drive, and survive. So you've got to break that stuff up or give us an agreement before we force you to break up. So, yeah, I mean, I have to say that every WWDC, my biggest fear, and with every new edition of macOS, my biggest fear is that the sandbox is going to get tighter and tighter and tighter until we do. And honestly, the moment that Apple says that you can no longer install any piece of software that does not come through the App Store on a Mac, that's going to be, it won't be the reason why I switch to Windows, but it will be final 10 points we need.
Andy, never switch to Windows. Don't do that to yourself.
You need to switch to Windows. Did I tell you about my Threadripper?
Did I tell you about my Linux, baby? You can run Linux on Threadripper, too.
And they got LED, and they got RGB lights all over the inside, so it's like freaking Las Vegas. Oh, my God.
I know the sex appeal of opening a brand new Apple product. I know what it's like.
Oh, it's good.
Understand the full thrill of a man. It's like getting a grill. Putting this thing together myself, it's just like getting a grill. I just put two steaks on this piece. I got brisket on the smoker, and it is pumping in this piece of power. You got to feel this power.
Actually, I know how you feel because guess what? I got a grill this week. I got my Father's Day 4th of July grill. I got a nice Traeger smoker.
Yet you're not using it.
I ordered a smoker.
You have fast food coming home.
I know, but that's because it's Father's Day.
Oh, I ordered myself a smoker for Father's Day too. I got a smoker coming. It's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Do you really?
Lori Gill told me to get this one. It uses pellets.
Uncle Leo, we can pellet brothers.
Let's be pellet brothers.
I got a pellet grill.
You gotta share. You have to share now. Smoker secrets.
I got the Winwood 24 Wi-Fi. So my
Me too. I got the Wi. They call it Wi-Fi.
You probably have the same one.
And I have a Sidekick burner on it, which comes with a griddle top, a grill top.
Oh.
Pizza oven top, because you know I'm a baller.
Now I am a little jealous. I confess.
You should return yours and get mine.
Mine has a little chimney. Mine's got a little chimney on the side. Look at that, that little chimney. You have a side griller? You have a little griddle?
Hold on. I'm about to.
I'm jealous now.
Mine's coming on Wednesday, but I got a picture of my baby. You know what I mean? I look at it every night before I go to sleep. I checked the tracking. I'm over here just doing me.
While you're looking that up, I don't have a grill, but I have a house that's 1 mile from the place where boats come in with fresh clams.
Yours looks fancy.
There you go.
Again, and the top comes off the griddle. You could put a grill top on it and a pizza oven top. So you could cook pizzas. I'm going to be cooking in that thing.
I have been shown up.
That looks really beautiful.
My hand,
it doesn't have a little chimney, which is really cute.
Mine has a 6-inch digital screen on it too, Uncle Leo.
Georgia, do you have anything for a man whose manhood has shriveled? Do you have anything you could?
We can talk afterwards. We can talk after. But again, you're gonna be having some delicious smoked whatever might be, and you're gonna love it. And it won't matter that it's not as pretty.
I don't have a 6-inch screen.
You have a cute little chimney.
I got a little chimney. That's all I got.
I have to
figure out what to do with your life, Uncle Lee. It's like, oh, run it by us. You know what I mean? You got to run stuff.
By the way, I took a picture of this because this is the last time it'll ever look that clean. You know, it's always good to take a picture of the grill before you use it. It already doesn't look nothing like that.
It has not been fired in anger yet. That's a sad looking grill.
There's no anger. That's a sad looking grill.
I got a half inch thick sheet of plate steel in my oven. That's how I.
What do you do with that?
Oh, it's for pizza, and oh my God, does it do a great job on pizza? But it will also balance all of the heat throughout the stone.
Yeah, we have a stone too. I never heard of steel for that.
It's the exact same width as like one of the wire racks in the stove, so it takes the place of one of the racks. So whenever I want like really good breads, I cook it on that, and it's amazing. But also when I'm cooking like cakes and pastries, it balances out it acts as a capacitor for heat and it balances everything out. So, and also if ever I wanted to run into sort of a diehard situation inside the house, that thing will repel bullets. I'm not sure if the pizza oven on your grill is going to repel bullets. This thing will definitely repel bullets.
I think just picking up the pizza stone would be too heavy for me to. I wouldn't be able to move from then. So
I just bought a new pizza stone, and already it's
12 pounds. So I mean, I could have Leah put it on there.
You have a pizza stone attachment for your grill?
That's what I said. Side grill has a pizza stone attachment, a griddle attachment, and a grill attachment with a closing lid, so I can sear my steaks on it, or I can make a pizza while I'm smoking. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I want to be fat boying all day. I'm gonna go out there with that grill, I make pancakes and bacon while the steaks are over there sizzling for 8 hours. They had the ribs on the top rack, and then I'm gonna come back later on, and then it's gonna be great. Make a pizza for dinner.
Now I'm hungry though.
You should be.
There's somebody in the chat room that says the sear box really is the difference maker.
It is, because I'm a grown man, Uncle Leo. Can't stop me in these streets. Bought it for myself because I deserve it. I know I deserve it.
You've ruined my Father's Day. I hope you're happy.
Think in the chat room, people ask. No, I want to be real too.
No, I want thread ripper too.
That's right. Hey, I'm telling you, you're a thread ripper.
You need some. You are well equipped, Mr. Owen J.J. Stone, I must say.
That's what she said. I mean, I'm not.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, yours has a little tiny chimney as well.
Of course, he has a chimney.
Sorry, Leo.
I'll say it does. I don't know.
You got to have a chimney on a smoker.
He's cute. I'm sending the picture.
So you got the Camp Chef. I got the Traeger. I think you won.
Great. I know I won.
Yours cost the same as mine. That's what really pisses me off.
What?
For the same amount of money, I could have had the Woodwind Wi-Fi 24. Can you make 32 burgers and 2 racks of rib on yours?
Oh, yeah. No problem. Because I also have a flexible that slides out. That could grill directly on it. So I could grill on the side and in the middle if I wanted to. But I mean, that's just me. I'm just a grown man. Oh, I'm just doing the best I can.
You're a grown man. Why didn't I call you before? I went with Lori Grill's suggestion. Lori Grill.
Write the cookbook, Lori.
Lori Grill. Lori Grill's suggestion. She's named after it, but I should have gone with Owen JJ's Pizza Stone because he knew the right answer.
Two things. Let me tell you, Uncle Leo. First thing. I'm the one with your picture favorited in my phone.
That's true.
I'm the one.
It was favorited?
Oh, wow. I'm the one that knows you. Secondly, I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing called ExpressVPN, but I think that you.
I better do an ExpressVPN commercial to pay for my new Woodwind Wi-Fi 24 with Sidekick. Right, I don't think Lisa let me have 2, though. That's ridiculous.
You've got 3 drones. You could get 3 smokers. We're grown men, Uncle Leo. We do the best we can with what we got.
How big of a party do you throw? Do I need to?
Also, Leo, you're going to need to have one separate if you're going to like be cooking kosher food for your friends.
Oh, yeah, you got to have separates. That's the kosher
or
grill.
People with like peanut allergies, you can say this has never been used with any sort of nut-based product. You're just thinking about your friends. That's all.
You donate the Traeger to the LastPass Studios for your adoring employees.
That's true.
To reward them for the hard work.
So that in between the shows, you can have delicious snacks.
We can all die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
We can have a smoke at it. That's what you do. Mm-hmm.
I do have the best VPN, though, I have to say. And I will brook no contest on this. This is ExpressVPN. I want to talk a little bit about privacy. We know that a VPN is all about security, of course, but it's also about privacy. It says in the ad, I should talk about a time I searched for something online I wouldn't want others to know about. Pretty much all the time. Pretty much every day, right? But the point is, your internet service provider, your carrier, they know where you go. I don't care if you're in incognito mode. That doesn't hide it from them. It hides it from Google, sort of. Incognito mode is not a protection for privacy. No matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browsing history, your ISP knows every single website you've ever visited. That's why even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. It's a sad thing, but ISPs in the United States can legally sell your information to ad companies. Furthermore, we just passed a reauthorization of the Patriot Act. The House about to pass it. That's going to let the FBI look at your search history without a warrant, just whenever they want. They say, hey, Comcast, what's Leo been up to? And they know, and they show. Not if you're using ExpressVPN. It's a simple app. You put it on your iPhone, your Android device. You put it on your Mac, your PC. You can even run it on Linux. You can run it on smart TVs. It reroutes all of your internet through their secure servers. The ISP can't see where you're going. All of your data is 100% encrypted. You don't have to use anything like DNS over HTTPS or anything like that. It's all protected. 100% of your data with the best encryption you can get. Military grade. And it's so fast, you won't even know you're using ExpressVPN. That's another nice benefit, by the way. If they're in 94 countries, you can go to any one of those countries, emerge to the internet from that country. That's where you look like you're coming from. Let's say you want to watch Doctor Who. You've used up all your Netflix at home. You want to watch Doctor Who on Netflix UK, no problem. You say, please put me in London. ExpressVPN's got their server there. You emerge onto the internet from London. You refresh Netflix suddenly. Hi-ho, there's my Doctor Who, or Japan for anime, and on and on and on. It is so fast you can watch HD video. In fact, I've been doing an experiment. I left ExpressVPN on my iPad, I think since last week. And no difference. I keep forgetting it's on. It's like, it's just as fast. But I'm secure, and I'm private. All your devices, you got to get ExpressVPN. CNET rated them number one. Wired rated them number one. I rate them number one. And I've checked the privacy policy. So have independent third parties. They've audited the privacy policy and their unique trusted server technology. And they say, yes, your privacy is protected. Protect your online activity today. If you want an extra 3 months free, go to expressvpn.com/twit. expressvpn.com/twit. And you'll get 3 months free on a one-year package. ExpressVPN.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech. And maybe if I do a few more of those ads, I can buy myself a Woodwind Wi-Fi 24 with Sidekick.
I think you should. Can't you return the other one? Aren't you in the return policy?
I used it.
This is America. It broke on you and you don't want it anymore and you're going to send it back whenever.
I used it, Pellet Bretta. You haven't got yours yet, though, right?
Comes on Wednesday. Ooh, watching the tracking every night before I go to bed.
It's funny.
Just like that's it's Christmas.
Cute. Isn't it funny?
It's like watching the Santa tracker. You know what I'm saying?
Nowadays with quarantine, there's so little to look forward to. It's like, oh, I got a new pencil. Look at that. The eraser's fresh. It's like it's so sad.
It doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much.
Not that it's this week in grills, but my friend who has a smoker, he smoked me and my daughter ribs. And the ribs were so good. My daughter was talking about these ribs 3 and 4 days after we had the ribs. She went over and gave him a present and thanked him. And I said, I'm your father. Why are you thanking another man for some ribs? So I figured I got to get on my horse, get my smoker.
Do not
game up.
Thank yeah. other that's men for your ribs. There's a motto, folks. That's there's right. something to remember on Father's Day.
Show title.
Well, this is good. This is good. What's it now? Have you already ordered your meat?
Oh, man, look, I go to the Amish market. You know what I mean? I got some Delmonico steaks on deck. Oh, nice. I got a brisket pre-ready. I got a pork shoulder. I'm telling you, I got some squimps. Got some asparagus. I got some corn.
You got some squimps? Oh. What's a squimp?
Squimps. Shrimps. That's what my grandma used to call them, squimps.
I love it. I'm calling them squimps from now on.
Shrimps.
Oh, I love squimps.
Oh, you know what another cool thing is? If you take all those tops off of the side, it's just a burner, and I could put a pot of water over there, boil some corn or whatever else I'd like to do, 3,200 BTUs pumping. You know what I'm saying? It's a great attachment. I'm just letting you know.
It's you know Owen's going to be sending you all kinds of pictures.
Oh, he got off the gram. I'm going to start texting him. You know I mean? I got to.
That's really funny. You're
going to have him call me crying, FaceTiming.
You can actually make your corn on the cob and bake your bread or your What would let's see. Oh, I know. I want to make pulled pork. I'm going to take that pork shoulder, make some pulled pork, maybe bake some buns to go on the pulled pork, to hold the pulled pork, maybe some soft, delicious.
Some potatoes and foil on the top, right?
A little foil. I can make salt baked potatoes. You crush them in salt. They're so good.
I got
meanwhile, back to tech briefly.
That you should just take out and do a little food service now. Oh, we have like a This Week in Food.
I think we could just have a Pellet Brothers show.
That would be really good.
Ant wants to get in on this.
You guys, we do it.
Ant says it's scrimps, not squimps. Let's get it right.
Hey, look, that's what my grandma used to say. I mean, don't spute me, boy. Don't spute me, Ant. Let me talk about my grandma.
Oh,
saying.
Lord. Are you using voice tweets yet, Owen? You'd be a perfect guy to use a voice tweet. You could do a rant in 120 or 200. How many seconds you got? 120
seconds? 140
seconds.
140 seconds.
Perfect. How long before they make it 280 seconds?
If you keep on talking, they just simply extend it to another tweet. Oh, joy.
I haven't got it yet. I'm bummed.
It's hot right now. I mean, everyone I've listened to, it's really loud.
Too loud.
Yes. So they got to fix that. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for people to hear the plethora of things that I could complain about in 140 seconds in audio.
Why? Why would people use this instead of just writing it down?
The same reason people listen to podcasts more than they watch podcasts. People love to hear. People don't like to read. And people don't like to write because most of us, like myself, type way too fast and I don't spell check myself and I send out tweets. Oh, wait. That might be the president. It might be me. Same. But if you get to say it out loud, then people love to talk. So that, I think it'll be overly used in the beginning, but then it'll be great for certain instances where you really just need to hear the expression and passion about certain topics, where just reading it in text gets you in so much trouble sometimes. You make a comment on something and people think that you're mad and you really just have sarcasm and joke in your heart.
So all the
it would be much better for intonation. You can understand what someone's saying much better from their voice than from reading it on a tweet. I just don't think that I'll ever care enough to click on something to be able to hear. Like maybe it would. Maybe it would make a
big
difference.
I'm on Cardi B's account. I am Cardi B. Hear his first voice tweet. There's a little profanity, just a little.
Hey, Barty gang. So I wanted to do something really special for you guys since today is Barty gang anniversary. So I really wanted to give you a snippet of my next single. I'm really nervous, but I'm really excited and I hope you guys enjoy it. So here it goes.
Okay, we're going to stop right there.
Why are so many rich internet? Why are so many rich people that are athletes and stars have the worst audio and video?
They're doing it in their phone. Wait a minute. Here's another one. This is the one. This is one I was expecting. This is what I thought I was running.
How do you sleep?
This is hers.
Tell me, how do you sleep when you hate on me? With all that hate and all that envy, I know that I'll be sleeping in your brain tonight.
You could have played Christina Warren's this for me, please. That twice. Christina made a video, voice thing you could have played that at least would have brought a little joy in my heart.
Whose should I listen to?
Christina Warren made one.
She did one? See, I don't have it yet. Otherwise, I would be doing all of my things.
Oh, yeah.
I should just
we're at a super exciting point. It's like the very beginning of Instagram, where celebrities would just say, "Hey, look, I've got this on my phone. I'm going to take a selfie without any good lighting, without any makeup, without any photoshopping." And now we're going to say, "Hi, I'm really excited for you to hear my new hit single that drops next week. Here's a little listen for it." And then when we get together, oh baby.
Well, it's when we first got laser printers and Macs. What did our desktop publishing look like? Not so good.
A million fonts, solid
ones. Ransom notes. That's what we did. We did ransom notes. Let me see. I'm trying to find Christina's. I'm in her tweet account, but she tweets so damn much. Wait a minute. Is this?
While you're looking for it, to what Georgia said, my reaction was exactly the same. Like, okay, well, this now you're trying to really blur what a tweet actually is.
Yeah.
And I wonder what people are going to use this right. for. But then that was pretty much everyone's reaction to Twitter to begin with. And then it found found a way to be actually important. Okay. So maybe a couple years from now, we'll be wondering why we ever thought that this was such a bad idea.
And for accessibility and for for songs or other, like there are some things that like hearing a crowd cheer, or my cat made this strange sound, you can't really type meow, like it doesn't, it doesn't bring the same, extension.
But that is another issue. Like, are they going to have auto caption turned on for these things so that people who can't hear or have a problem with their hearing can also enjoy part of it?
Accessibility issue. Yeah.
That's a good big point. Deal.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That was one of the interesting things that came out of this. Someone who worked at Twitter responded to some of these comments by saying that, oh, well, we're all working on it, and indicating that they don't, I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just going from this tweet that this person posted, that there isn't like a really established official accessibility team within Twitter. It's just something that people who work on whatever product will also try to embed and try to consider accessibility as they're doing it, as opposed to other companies where, no, there's an accessibility team whose entire job it is to focus on all of the paramount needs of people with disabilities and how to make sure that all their products accepted. And if that's true, that would have really surprised me for an operation the size of Twitter.
You don't use Facebook, Georgia? You don't use Facebook?
No.
No.
You do? Never, ever have. Like, I don't even
never have.
Never had an account. Never ever, had it. Ever,
never
ever
will.
Ever had an account.
How about you, Owen? I can't remember. You're on Facebook, aren't you?
Oh, I am definitely on Facebook.
Yeah.
I love Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's where I get to argue with people. It's where I get to filter out the people that are racist that I didn't know were racist. Facebook is very useful to me. Without Facebook, I would there would be snakes in my grass. Facebook is my lawnmower. Okay, having Facebook allows me to cut the grass. But you're a snake. Boom, gotcha.
That's good.
Boom. I love Facebook. I appreciate you, Facebook.
After the horrible George Floyd murder, you were saying, I am going to block anybody who talks more. What did you say? More about the looting than about the protests, right? Like, that's a filter.
If you complain about looting, the first thing I do is go to your page. And if you haven't said one thing about a man being executed by law enforcement, then I know what your problem is.
It's like,
many people
it's perfect.
Who are very upset. So you're upset about a building that's insured, property that's not yours, and the people that did it were peacefully protesting, and you know that there's anarchists out there to do certain things. But you're worried about those things before you're worried about loss of life. And again, I don't want to get on the thing about politics and rant in the middle of the thing, but I will say this. There are criminals in this world, and those criminals get punished. When people in law enforcement do something blatantly wrong and they get to go home or go to another job and don't receive justice, that is the problem. So great way to filter people. Love Facebook. Thank you again, Zuckerberg.
But if you're not on Facebook, you don't have to filter them in the first place.
You don't need a lawnmower because you don't have no grass.
I have a very small amount of friends. I know what they want. I don't have to worry. I already know.
You have real friends, though, and that's the difference between you and me, Georgia.
I like Uncle Leo, but a very smaller portion of Uncle Leo. I, like Uncle Leo, have a lot of fans, and I have to give these fans a platform to come and see me listen to me.
That's
and
good.
Then I either get to educate them or destroy them.
It's
Uncle Leo is so he ignores them, but I snipe them and strike them.
See, I ignore.
And then My favorite thing is when they complain and say, I can't believe Leo has you on Twitter and you're talking like that. I'm like, you just threatened my life and now you're going to go cry to Uncle Leo because I made you feel bad? I don't think he's going to work.
It's not good for your health, Owen. It's just not good for your health. I get the fans part and it's nice that they have access and they can talk to you and interact.
Owen just got a grill with a pizza stone. He's not worried about his health.
There's no win in the internet arguments. I'm sorry. There's no win. There's no sniping. There's no nothing. If people are already open-minded to listen to you and actually have a debate, and that you can actually have a debate because they should still have debates these days, then these are not the people that you need to be speaking to in the first place. And the people that are already closed-minded and don't care, they're not going to change.
I'm going to give you a great analogy, Georgia. I'm going to give you a great analogy. You're a jiu-jitsu maven, right?
Yep.
You've trained, right?
Yes, I have.
Gone against opponents that were tougher than you, right?
I have.
Okay, so I'm a black man in America. I have to go against the world every day. All these punks on Twitter and on Facebook are training for me to deal with the oppression and the problems that I have to deal with in life. Okay, I'm sparring day to day, coast to coast, Key West to Key Largo to stay sharp and razor focused, okay?
Fair, you know about training.
This is my arena. So come on, Facebook. Come
That's
on,
taking no justice, no peace to a whole nother level. It's like
I want you to spend some time to retire and enjoy.
I get that, though. In a way, what he's saying, now correct me if I'm wrong, is that not being on Facebook is a form of privilege. That's a privilege.
Being on Facebook is a privilege.
My favorite thing are, again, people that are usually Caucasian get to say this week. I'm taking a break from social media.
Right.
Social media... I just need to take a break for a month. And I'm like, wow, you can't stand a racism, oppression, aggression, protest for 30 days. People talking about things that you're only watching. Nobody's in your
Making
face
them
doing
very
it.
Very uncomfortable, isn't it?
But you can't feel, I can't take off the internet of blackness. I can't take off this uniform and not be a cop when I go home. I have to deal with this everywhere I go. I don't get to take a break. I live it. But it's good that if you need to take a break, that's the privilege that you get to have.
You're saying okay, Karen, in your mind, aren't you?
You can make change in the world without being on social media, right? Like, you can be proactive.
I think, Georgia, you live that. You live that, Georgia. Yes.
Yeah, and I think that there's other people that do too, but I don't think that Owen's saying this, so, like...
No, I know.
You can make change without it being through social media, right? Be proactive, be on the streets.
In fact, it might be more effective...
Elected officials.
It might be more effective to go down the street and talk to real people about these issues.
Well, whichever way you want to do it, but you should do something. And I think that that's what Owen's saying. And you're right. Yep. It is a privilege you can't just turn it off. Yeah.
And I'm not bashing people that aren't on social media because I fully understand why. I have a lot of friends that are married men and they just don't touch the internet. They're like, look, that's my wife's thing. I'm not going on there. I don't want to deal with it because they don't. The drama, they don't want to deal with it. So I fully understand there's some people just don't want to be online, and that's fine too. I'm just saying to people that need the break from stress situations. Like, I'm stressed out too. I got to deal with it, and I deal with it by eating my feelings and looking back over this dominator ray.
Right. And revolution takes breaking some eggs and making some briskets sometimes. But
Andy, I can't remember. Are you on you're on Facebook, aren't you, Andy?
I have a nominal presence on Facebook, mainly because after years and years and years of trying to get my family to say, oh, look, I've created a private group on Flickr, and look, I've created this entire server for you.
Yeah.
And like, if I want to know I will know when my nieces and nephews graduate and when there's parties and stuff like that. I will not get to see the pictures of somebody skateboarding. So for that reason, I've never, ever, ever installed the Facebook app on anything because that's cracked. Not even once, not because I'll get addicted to it, but because as soon as you install it, you've lost.
Yeah. So the reason I ask all three of you is I wanted your opinion. First, I want to understand your relationship to Facebook before I ask you your opinion on this, because Facebook and Instagram have decided to let Facebook users turn off political ads for the 2020 election. There's been a big debate whether they should take money for political ads at all. And I, for one, have said, no, you probably shouldn't. Jeff Jarvis has defended it, saying, look, it's not just the people you don't like who buy ads. It's the chance for the underdog candidate to efficiently reach voters. It's a valuable tool for people. And so not taking political ads would be bad. I think, though, maybe, I don't know. What do you think? Turning, it seems to me it's a good half measure to say, if you don't like the political ads, you can just turn them off. You won't see them. And Facebook at that time will not make money off you on political ads. Let's start with Georgia. Is that a good idea?
I don't know. I feel kind of neutral towards it. I think Facebook, I don't like Facebook in the least of the time, in the best of times. Right. I don't like Facebook. I think that it, you know, anyways, I think it's insidious in certain ways.
So it doesn't matter.
I don't know if the ads themselves are the worst part of Facebook. I think that it's nice that you can choose to turn it off or not turn it off. And I think that, you know, in the end, it's like really being educated about media and how do ads, you know, persuade, manipulate, control you. I think that that should be an education that goes through the school system so that you can deal with having all of these advertisements constantly kind of trying to change your opinion and tell you that you're not beautiful enough, you're not smart enough, this is why you're powerless, this is why you should be scared and give up all of your control and give it to us. But I think that them, you know, the ads are going to be there anyway somewhere. So I like that you can choose to or not choose to. So
I also should point out that Facebook is going to start a special section for voters. That'll be a voter information section and a voter registration section. They want to register 4 million new people to vote in November. So that is an opportunity to use Facebook's platform to give people information about where their polling place is, what the issues are, who the candidates are, in a, they say, nonpartisan way. So let's add that into the mix. They're trying to do both something good and kind of help people who have overwhelmed by political ads. Owen, what do you think?
I state for the record, first and foremost, that politicians shouldn't be allowed to raise money. There should be a dollar amount stipend given to each candidate at each level.
Yeah.
$1 million presidency, $100,000 senator, or so on and so forth.
Yeah,
and
$1 trillion campaign for presidency is unacceptable.
So that's the first thing. That should be capped. And there should be no fundraising. Secondly, if they allow you to turn it off, that's great. But no matter what they do, no matter what you do, it's the same thing as everything else. You can turn off ads all you want to. The biggest salesman in your life is the person right across from you. I'm sitting there looking at Leo Laporte, who bought his own pellet grill, and I made him feel like less than 30 seconds by showing him the power of my own personal choice. So you can block ads all you want to. If you have a friend that has a good, compelling argument, such as myself, they can sway you and change you. So Facebook has still got that going for itself. I also do appreciate them having the voters and all that kind of stuff set up where people can find out where they're voting and register, because that is something that's desperately needed in a digital platform, because in America, we are so far behind in the voting technological process.
Yeah. That's really the real thing is let's get money out of politics the best we can.
Yes.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it is in politics. And it's going to be for the foreseeable future, because guess what? The people who got elected by that money are the ones who decide whether they're going to be able to take money. But
America.
But I don't know. I like the two-pronged approach that Facebook's taken. How about you, Andy? What do you think?
I think it's a positive thing that Facebook has indicated that they have some responsibility for anything that happens on their system, which is a positive thing for me. But it's good to give people a little bit more control over what's appearing in their news feeds. That's also a good thing. However, it really doesn't attack the problem. It solves a problem for people that are annoyed by political ads or annoyed by ads in general. But the real problem is the absolute fine to a 100th of a percent, a percentage point with which modern advertising tools and targeting tools allow you to recraft an argument to make sure that it will appeal specifically to the group of people that this ad is going to be shown to. There was a study, I think, that was released last month that was talking about some of the specific problems of a COVID-19 vaccine, and indicating that this is it. It's one of those few things that spreads across multiple categories of paranoia, where you have people who think that, oh, well, all vaccines are bad. But how then you get to targeting people who are saying that I don't want to get a vaccine because this is big pharma, but we don't, I don't need this. This is a huge corporation that once again is trying to control us. Or you have someone who's saying, well, the government says that we should all have this. And the government is saying, I can't send my kid to school until I have this. This is big government coming after me, just the way the big government always does. And then even you have the hippie crunchy people who are like, oh my God, we don't want to put another artificial chemical into our sainted temples of our bodies. And this is the, when you multiply that towards towards a spectrum of 1,000 different categories, and you have someone who, as has been said, has $1 trillion to spend on the campaign to make sure that, look, we don't, it's really important that we get this state, and we've decided, we determined that winning this state means turning only 30,000 to 300,000 undecided voters. That's when you decide that I'm going to unleash 12,000 specific campaigns to make sure we'll get 300 people there, 800 people there, 700 people there, to make sure that we can turn this state to our advantage. So this is, I really think that in an idealized sort of world, Facebook will just will have a standard user interface, but there will be third party apps that can I can interface through it instead. That could be a little bit smarter in deciding that, well, why am I seeing this particular ad? A way that I can use Facebook without Facebook having any details about who I am and what it thinks that I stand for. That's the only way to protect our collective brains against this kind of infection. It's going to get worse before if we don't take any steps to make sure that there are controls over how people can try to manipulate people through social media.
Speaking of social media manipulation, and actually, I'm not sure I feel about this. I feel like the president was trolled by K-pop, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. Teenagers all over the country apparently signed up for tickets to the president's rally in Tulsa last night. That's why his campaign manager, Brad Parscale, tweeted, "A million tickets given away." He also, by the way, and Brad, just a tip, you're not supposed to tell people this part. I can't, you know, he tweeted, the data trove is amazing, except that he now has apparently a good number of phone numbers of teenagers because they didn't have an age check on there. They did verify the phone numbers. It would send you a PIN, so they have real phone numbers, although it's not, I would imagine these TikTok and Instagram users probably know how to create a temporary phony phone number on places like Google Voice. It's one of the reasons, though, that they had an overflow area ready for 1,000 people, and the president and the vice president were supposed to speak to that. No one showed up there. And in fact, the 19,000-seat arena, according to the Tulsa Fire Marshal, was filled with a mere 6,200 people. They were trolled. That's trolling, right? They didn't do a lot to prevent that. But, wow. Steve Schmidt is a Republican strategist. You might see him on MSNBC regularly. Tweeted that his daughter had herself had hundreds of tickets to the rally, and so did her friends. My 16-year-old daughter and her friends in Park City, Utah, have hundreds of tickets. You've been rolled by America's teens, Steve Schmidt tweeted this morning. 100,000 likes. Many responses from people said, this is the AP reporting, who say they or their kids did the same. Wow.
BTS has just been formally declared a terrorist group.
Wow. Wow. What is it about K-pop fans? Why are they, that's interesting.
It does this. I think they're young and they see the next 20 years of their lives.
Yeah, maybe.
They want to do something about it.
Yeah. It was started apparently by a 51-year-old grandmother from Fort Dodge, Iowa, Mary Jo Laup, who posted on June 11th on TikTok suggesting people book free tickets to make sure there are empty seats. It had that single TikTok. This is the power of TikTok, by the way. From a 51-year-old grandma, had 700,000 likes and spread like wildfire throughout TikTok.
That's the power of social media.
That is mind-boggling.
Yeah. And that's what we call hacktivism in these streets.
Meanwhile, Pascal tweets, it's the biggest data haul and rally sign-up of all time by a factor of 10. Whoops. First of all, you're not supposed to admit that you're gathering, that the most important part of this is gathering data. But okay, Brad, whatever.
I'm surprised it was a Gen Xer that got all this together, because normally we're the people who are just like watching the world
burn.
What
is TikTok? What is that?
Not as a point of pride, I'm saying. I'm just saying it's generally easier to do nothing.
Yeah. Is that wild or what? Ars Technica is reporting that more than 70% of Americans say, we're not going to use contact tracing apps. That's actually a decline. You were on Georgia Dow some episodes ago when we were talking about the Google Apple API and said, no way, I'm putting that on my phone.
We were both together. We both said
both of you said that. Well, you're now joined by 70% of Americans. This is a survey by Opinion Matters on behalf of a security company, Avira. When asked if they plan to download a contact tracing app, an overwhelming majority, 71%, said no. Part of the problem with the Apple, as it turns out, with the Apple-Google API is it's too privacy-forward, that none of the information health experts want, things like your name and actual location, are available to them. So only 4 states say they're going to use the API. More countries are using it. Switzerland's trying it out. Germany's finally said they're going to do it. Latvia is doing it. Even the UK has said, we're going to use the API. But my guess is that worldwide, the reaction is pretty much the same. We know in Singapore, where they put out an app early on, only 25% of residents installed it. Now Singapore's considering handing out a Bluetooth token, a kind of like an Apple tag that you'd carry in your pocket that would record your location at all times.
People will be just sticking on their dog.
Don't you want to help? You want to be locked up forever.
I don't think that doesn't help. That's just one small piece of it. If you're not going to be testing everyone, then what does it matter, right? If you're only going to test you when you're really sick, you've had 14 days to infect, right? Like how many people, right? A thousand perhaps? So,
it basically states that 7 out of 10 people don't trust authority in the government that they live in. 7 out of 10 people in the world would rather risk dying and having someone next to them dying than trust the power structure or information that they already have on you anyway.
That's
really what it comes down to.
As few as 50% of Americans in other surveys say they would do the vaccine. So this could last a while.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just going to simply be once we have a binary yes, no, pass, fail sort of system in place that has numbers and science behind it, the ability to say, okay, well, if you do want to go to this restaurant tonight, you're going to have to show that you have a valid pass, fail card. If you want to attend this concert, you're going to have to have a pass, fail card scanned. That's going to cause riots. I'm sorry, that's a bad word. Enough kickback that the organizations proposing this will back down, or that's going to lead to widespread adoption. It depends on how much attention people are paying to the numbers week by week by week. And people are still dying, and we can still see areas in which the numbers are going up and not down. And it's very, very disappointing to me that. I'm seeing people, even when I'm going, when I went grocery shopping the other day, that I'm wearing my mask, of course, not just because I'm outside, but because specifically, hey, you're inside this enclosed space. There's a sign saying you have to wear a mask. And the number of times where I pass someone by who's wearing their mask around their necks, and then they see me with the mask and they like sheepishly pull it up.
See that all the time.
Do you not understand that we are still in a crisis here? Something's going to have to give. And one possibility, I have to say, is that society, either through ignorance or through acceptance, decides that we are okay with losing X tens of thousands of people that would have lived over the past 2 or 3 years over all the damage that's being done to social situations, to school, to businesses. That's a possibility, but it would be a very, very sad one if I'm opted into this by virtue of the fact that I have to go shopping with people who are going out while they're sick and not wearing masks.
And Andy, that doesn't even work, though. There's not ever going to be a pass-fail card to come into the store because my favorite thing is when I walk
by someone. They're like, oh, I got tested for COVID. I don't have it. Yeah, you didn't have it last week when you got tested. Yeah. You've been walking around now without a mask, and you just got it from your sister's brother's cousin at the barbecue, and boom, you got it, but you won't know for another two weeks. So that little token wouldn't even work because you're clear today, and you went out and did all that willy-nilly stuff, and now you got it tomorrow. So, I mean...
The way the token works, everybody carries it. It's all the time. As soon as you test positive, you give them your token. It has in it everywhere you've been and everyone you've come into contact with, much like the Apple Google API, that then the health authorities can use to do contact tracing. The difference is it has names, addresses, and phone numbers. In effect, it has the actual people so that they can call them and say, you need to, you were exposed, you need to quarantine as well. But nobody's going to do it, especially in the United States. If they're not doing it in Singapore, I can't imagine they're going to do it in the United States. So,
South Korea did have a lot of good results with contact tracing, but a lot of that earlier on, like a couple of months ago, there were some reports on it. But that was largely because the government was doing this very, very actively. People didn't have a choice about it.
No, they have to, because people will say no. They say no, I'm not going to tell you. No, you have to tell me.
Yeah, we have a situation where Lowe's theater chain is saying, "Oh, we're not going to force people to wear masks because we don't want to get in the middle of a big political debate."
It's not political.
We got some work to do.
Yeah. Okay.
If some people had as much passion about wearing masks or not wearing masks as they did about like racial injustice and keeping people safe, we'd be in a better place.
Honestly, I think it's pretty clear at this point, and I just see it walking around Petaluma. There's only one way through this, and that's just we're going to all get it. And good luck to you. Good luck. I hope you survive.
Have you heard people saying that, oh, well, I had it a few months ago. I'm pretty sure that means I have antibodies and I can't get it.
I hear that all the time. Okay. Yeah.
Number one, no, that doesn't mean that. And number two, it still means that you could infect other people. So, okay, good
and
for you.
That's the thing is that you don't know if you can get it again. And they've tested that some people that tested positive and had antibodies no longer have the antibodies. So there's just so many things that are unknown. Yeah. And I think that the World Health Organization did a real disservice by first saying that masks did not help you, and they were doing it to protect the healthcare workers so that they could get enough masks for themselves.
They could have said homemade masks are okay. They really could have said that. They could have.
Exactly.
In some countries, they did it. In the Czech Republic, they did. And there was a vast effort to make homemade masks and hand them out to everybody, and it was very effective. So it's possible. But, you know, it's a confluence of a variety of different things. And it doesn't, I mean, this doesn't look good. This is not a technology subject. It's hard not to think about it.
Well, it is a technology subject in a way that this is a mistake that collectively we keep making over and over again, to think that, here is an academic idea in which we can use technology to solve this huge problem. And we're going to have faith in the technology as opposed to seeing how that's going to play out in a real world. I just bought on eBay one of those one laptop per child laptops, because it's still a cool piece of design.
Oh yeah, like, I have one. Yeah, remember,
Negroponte was saying, oh well, here's how we solve education worldwide. We make really cheap $100 laptops, and governments will buy like a million of them and give a child their own laptop. And that was without actually checking with each of these individual regions, saying, well, what is your biggest problem? And if they're telling them, well, our biggest problem is that we don't have enough trained teachers. It doesn't matter how many laptops you give out. If you don't have a teacher, you're going to need that.
Good point.
Time and time again. So academically, I think that's a great idea. Let's find a way so that when someone gets sick, we can find out who they're in contact with, so we can contain that little nodule of spread. But nonetheless, trying to convince people that this is not going to weaken your personal privacy is something that you have a responsibility to do. That means that this person is simply well informed on the risks of carrying around a phone with them wherever they go, and it might be an unsolvable problem.
Yeah, actually, Google Maps does a better job of tracking you, honestly, than any of these apps.
Yeah,
and most of us have location tracking turned on. So
they did.
Like if they could. Sorry.
A couple months ago, Google released this actually a very, very powerful tool, which is a data tool for local governments to say, here is the statistics for the people in your community, how much time they're spending in public transportation areas, how much time they're spending in grocery stores, how much time they're spending in recreational areas, which allows the community organizers to find out, okay, well, we've told people, please don't go to the beaches because that's where you're gonna, and people are not following those things, so we need to step up enforcement there. What they're not saying is, please don't ask us how we know that 8% more people are going to this supermarket now than before coronavirus.
Oh, by the way, we do know that. What were you going to say, Georgia? Go ahead.
Oh, my thing is just that I wish that they would. We used our tech to be able to increase the amount of people that were tested, because if we could do mass testing and we knew everyone that at the moment has it, then we could deal with really isolating instead of dealing with something that's 2 weeks too late.
True.
And so we're always playing catch up, and it is costly, but I think that it's something that would in the end save us. And I think that people are more important than the government making as much profit as they can.
Well, there's also some blame to the scientific community, because there's been such a rush to publish that there's been a lot of conflicting information flowing out of the epidemiological and scientific and health communities. And that's confusing to us, because we hear a variety of things. There was a really, I thought, a wonderful paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences published. It looked like it was peer-reviewed. It said it was peer-reviewed, published by a Nobel laureate chemist, saying that not only is it pretty clear at this point that aerosolized COVID-19 is the predominant way of infection, and a particularly virulent form because it goes right into your lungs, but that masks above all other mitigations work. Not that you shouldn't social distance and wash your hands, but everybody should wear a mask, and if everybody did, it would work. And I thought this was so good. I blogged about it. I thought, this is a great paper. Today in the New York Times, it turns out a bunch of scientists are asking the NAS to retract the article. Because, yes, it's peer-reviewed, but it was peer-reviewed in a fashion that isn't very good. The peer reviewers were selected by the study's authors, and a number of scientists now saying the assertions in this article are over the top and not supported by science. And when that happens, and I think I'm fairly literate in consuming scientific literature, that really undermines the whole damn thing. It's like, okay, if you're going to publish that NAS and you're very respected and you say it's peer-reviewed and the guy who wrote it's a Nobel laureate and now it's not true, oy. So, and the other problem is now it goes the other direction. People are going to say, see, that mask thing, it's not true, which is not true either. So this is part of
the
problem.
Thing with science,
well, I agree.
Right? It has to be replicated. And
it takes a time. It takes time. Yes.
But we ask that question of, listen, this doesn't deal with the scientific rigor. Someone else comes out and says, you know, pull this. It doesn't stand up to scientific rigor.
Yes, we're watching the process play out.
Responsibility.
Right.
Versus just this, you know, diatribe that anyone with, you know, a computer can send out a false peer review that looks really good. And
well,
there's
also been a problem with a lot of papers published without peer review, preprints they call them. And so I thought I was being smart. I was saying, well, this is not a preprint. This is peer reviewed from a prestigious journal. And even then, apparently, I was fooled. So I don't know. I think that's part of the problem, too, is scientific method does not work in the way that helps us be certain about what we need to do. That's where leadership makes a difference. That's where, unfortunately, a gutted CDC is no help at all, because we don't have the kind of leadership that can assess all this material and then give us clear instructions one way or the other. It's all just a mess. And that's too bad, because it's just going to make us sicker. Let's take a little bit of a break on that light and happy note. What are you going to cook? Brisket? Shoulder of pork? A little pulled pork? How do you pull the pork? You take a pork shoulder, you smoke it for a long, long time.
Yep.
Then what?
Then you put it in a cooler, you let it rest for an hour.
Okay.
Then you take it out with some nice rubber gloves, and you just dig into that thing, and it bursts open, and the juices and flavors just ignite your life. It's
amazing. So you're not saying, I don't have to pull that hard, is what you're saying.
Oh, you ain't. Let me tell you something. you nudge it and it bursts.
It's no nudged pork is what it really is.
Yeah, hey, we're going to have a Twitter after dark smoke off, brother. I'm just saying.
I think so. And I understand there is somebody in the chat room, Mr.
Barbarian versus the modern man. You know what I'm saying?
Aunt Pruitt says, and that bone just slides out. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so hungry.
Our show today brought... Would you like a little wasabi with that? Our show today brought to you by Wasabi, not the hot sauce. Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. If you are if you're collecting data in your enterprise, you're probably collecting it so fast, you're buying more storage all the time, more on-prem storage all the time. I was talking to Wasabi's CEO, David Friend, good friend I've known for a long time. Dave was telling me about a Boston high-rise that bought security cameras. This was some months ago. And didn't really think about the fact that these security cameras are recording megabytes of content every minute, that they would be buying new hard drives every month. And it was starting to really add up. And David said, you should store it in the cloud. It's frankly, it's a no-brainer for most people. And, of course, I'll tell you what some of the objections are. Oh, it's not secure. In most cases, Wasabi on a hot cloud storage is more secure than your on-prem storage. Oh, well, it's more expensive. No, in fact, in most cases, it's so inexpensive, at least Wasabi is. You're thinking of those other guys. Wasabi's 80% cheaper than Amazon S3. It's so inexpensive, you can typically store data in Wasabi's cloud for less than just the maintenance fees. The maintenance fees on the on-prem storage. Not even the storage, just the maintenance fees. Wasabi is really remarkable, and it's going to solve it's going to solve your problem with needing more storage. Wasabi is brilliant. They've devised a way to make enterprise-grade cloud storage a fifth the price of Amazon S3, as much as six times faster and more durable. 11 nines of durability. On average, you'd lose one file every 649,000 years. That, compare that. Can you say that about your SAN? No. It's hosted in premier Tier 4 data center facilities that are not only highly secure but fully redundant, and they do active integrity checking. Every object stored on Wasabi is checked every 90 days, so if there's ever an issue, they've got a copy somewhere else in another Tier 4 center. They can copy it over. That's why your data is absolutely safe and secure. All data stored in the cloud at Wasabi is always encrypted at rest, even if you don't specify encryption. They follow all the best models of security and design. There's things like access control mechanisms, like bucket policies, access control lists. So you, and by the way, the best part, I love this, you can select your data, some data or all, to be immutable. Means it cannot be erased or altered. It cannot be erased or altered. Malware can't get to it. Hackers can't get to it. Your fumble-fingered nephew in accounting can't get to it. That's awesome. HIPAA compliant, CGIS compliant, and so affordable. Now, there's two ways to pay. You could pay as you go. Very simple, a very affordable price. But if you know, if you're like that high-rise, and you know exactly how much storage you're going to need every week, month, and year, you can reserve capacity. Wasabi's reserve capacity storage means you buy ahead for 1, 3, or 5 years. You get greater discounts. The longer the term, the greater the capacity. You're going to save even more. I just think this is a no-brainer. The only problem is the name, Wasabi. Everybody's heard of S3 and Azure and Google Cloud. Nobody's heard of Wasabi. That's why I want to tell you about it. Why I'm a big believer in Wasabi. It's highly secure, disruptive technology that's turning the industry on its ear. 80% cheaper, up to six times faster than the industry leader. When you go to the boss and you say, look, we got to do this. Let's stop the insanity. Let's stop buying on-prem storage. Let's move to the cloud. And I've got the best way to do it. You want to try it? Go to wasabi.com. Click the free trial link, enter the code TWIT, W-A-S-A-B-I, wasabi.com. On the front page, there's a picture of Nate, director of IT, being squished by on-prem storage. the time to move to the cloud has come. And next generation cloud storage is here, Wasabi. Try it free for a full month, wasabi.com. Use the offer code TWIT. And it's a good idea to try it because you can try. For instance, they support the Amazon API, so you can try your Amazon S3 tools. They'll all work. And unlike Amazon, they don't charge for egress, and they don't charge for API access. So that's another one. I have to say, you know, S3, that's great. I'm going to put everything up there. And then you find out you have to pay to get it back. Not with Wasabi. No fee for egress. No fee for API access. It's really a good deal. Wasabi.com. Use the offer code TWIT if you would. Okay, let's see. Let's wrap this up with a few great, quick, fast hits. This is nice. iFixit has posted repair manuals for ventilators. And last week it received a letter saying copyright infringement. You cannot tell people how to fix our ventilators. Steris Corporation, which makes sterilization and other medical equipment, has come to my attention. You have been reproducing certain installation and maintenance manuals relating to our products, documentation which is protected by copyright law. You may not let those people have this information. You know, there comes a time when the right to repair movement becomes about more than just getting your iPhone fixed. It's about saving lives. And it's kind of shocking that a company that claims to be, you know, saving lives with their medical devices would be putting DRM, which they do, on their ventilators. Kyle Ween's fighting the good fight on that one. Okay, you guys have nothing to say, except I know that means you're agreeing with me. Oh, they're muted. What the hell? What? Actually, let's do the rest of the show that way. That works so well. Story number two.
You did make a perfect case that absolutely nobody could possibly have contributed to, much less disagreed with, sir.
But who let them actually like go ahead with this? Like, who didn't say, like, you know what? Maybe now is not the time.
Unbelievable. Well, they're clearly tone deaf.
Later, if you want to, like, yeah, just. You have to think that whoever's, you know, some people need handlers. That's okay.
Yeah, they're clearly tone deaf. And the reason I mention this, I hope that this is a black mark on this company, Steris. Kyle Ween says, we explained to them that what we did is lawful and a protected fair use under the Copyright Act. No manufacturer should be stopping hospitals from repairing their equipment. The best way to ensure patient safety, this is Kyle Ween's, love you, Kyle, is to make sure equipment is being maintained regularly using the manufacturer's recommended procedures. The only way to do that is if hospitals have up-to-date manuals. By the way, iFixit has not removed any material from its website.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They've also collected and distributed, what was the number, like thousands of different repair technical manuals and repair manuals for medical information.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets beyond these industries being just horrible people, corporate people, and into actual danger. It was bad enough when they're saying that no farmers who has for hundreds and hundreds of years just as a cult have a culture of whatever's broken, we'll fix it on site because we can't afford to have our machinery down for a single day. When the equipment manufacturer saying no, we're not going to let you fix your own engines. We're not going to allow you to create a cable to hook up one part to another because those cables are copyrighted. That is a situation that's way out of hand and is almost requires an emotional disruption.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about this, Lori? Lori, I keep calling you Lori. Georgia. I know you're Georgia. Not Lori Grill. not
I don't
Owen,
have the cool pink hair.
Not Owen Pizza Stone. No. You're Georgia. I got to come up with a quick with a grilling name for you. You're Georgia.
Georgia Sizzle Dow.
Georgia Sizzle Dow. The FDA just approved the first prescription video game for kids with ADHD. Did you know about this?
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, Georgia, okay. you work with ADHD kids, right?
I do.
It's called Endeavor RX from Akili Interactive, formerly Project Evo. It's prescribed as medicine for the kids between the ages of 8 and 12 with ADHD. It's an iPhone or iPad game. 7 years of clinical trials. 600 kids figuring out whether this game could actually make a difference? The answer is yes. One-third of kids treated with this game no longer had a measurable attention deficit on at least one measure of objective attention after playing the game for 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 4 weeks.
The only thing I have to ask is that kids with ADHD usually are very good and have a lot of good attention when they play the video game.
They're focused.
And if they're
yes.
interested in something, they also have a good amount of focus. They can actually be hyper-focused.
That's what I did. Yes.
So I just don't – and again, I'm intrigued by it, and I think that that would be wonderful if it could help them on a separate area. But I wonder if it is and if it's that area. And if it's that area, I don't know if it would be as usable to being – bored, like our school system has to be kind of overhauled. It hasn't really changed in a very long time. And it's dull, like to be able to sit there, you know, and just listen to someone maybe perhaps prattling on about something, which sometimes can happen, or, you know, they're not being able to move around. I don't know if that would be as helpful, but right. I'm going to look it up and see.
Yeah. I mean, and there's also the issue of if it takes 6 years to approve it, by then the technology is antiquated.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm a little surprised because the FDA does have a fast track system acknowledging that technology can move faster than the approvals process. On the other hand, I'm glad to see that this is getting actual scrutiny as opposed to other solutions for ADHD and other syndromes that simply say, well, this sounds like it makes good sense. There was a very, very popular set of fonts that are supposedly good for people. I think it was for
dyslexia.
Yeah.
Dyslexia.
And, but then if I recall correctly, subsequent follow-up studies didn't show any real improvement beyond.
It depends on the type of dyslexia as well, right? Okay. If it's bottom heavy fonts, and so I am a little bit dyslexic, mostly with like numbers and names of things. If you ask me a name of something, I won't know. But I don't flip my letters. I can't really spell.
I don't know if this was self-prescribing, but when I was a teenager, and I definitely was ADD, maybe HD, but mostly ADD, I started playing chess, and I had that hyper-focus, which allowed me to sit and stare at a chessboard for 4 and 5 hours for long tournament games, and it was quite successful. I think it helped me a lot.
But chess would be, I think that would be very effective, because you have to be calm. You have to be paying attention. You have to pay attention to the other person. I know that neurofeedback. So they do neurofeedback where they you're not kind of hooked up to electrodes. And when you're working on being calm, you know, there's a plane. It's a video game, and there's a plane that's kind of, there's many different ones. But like, let's say there's a plane that you try to move up and down depending on your brain waves, and you're working on becoming focused, becoming relaxed, being able to calm your mind down. And when it does, the plane flies straight.
Yep.
And so that helps build up that part of your brain. Doing anything that's kind of slower paced can also help that. And so maybe they're working on something that is similar to that.
It looks like a traditional Twitch game,
I like
to be honest with you.
Not drug related.
Yeah, I agree. Let's not drug them.
Effort. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's something to try, and we'll see what's going on. I mean, we're talking about the scrutiny. I feel like they just fast track pills to pop in people's mouths like it's nobody's business. And things like this will get more scrutiny on it. But I mean, again, I'm just happy for the effort. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, no harm, no fail. I don't know about if that's a thing or not.
Chess. Chess. And the thing is, I wasn't playing speed chess. I was playing tournament chess, which meant literally it's 2.5 hours per person per game. So it's a long time. And the other thing it taught me is impulse control, because you're going to lose real fast if you can't sit on your hands and make sure that that's the right move.
Is that where you got the essence with that picture that I showed for your basis?
That's me playing chess right there.
You look very zen. He does look really zen, though, in the picture.
I'm playing chess right there, as a matter of fact.
He practiced for Twit in 3-hour episodes as a child.
Yeah, these long episodes. These are short for me.
It's nothing.
When I work with kids that are ADD or ADHD, I often do focusing exercises where you have to sit still like a statue. It's good for everyone, actually. It increases everyone's focus. And you have to do your breathing, and you calm breathe, but you have to stay still. And we just work on staying still while I try to make funny noises or poke them.
Oh, that's fun.
So that they have to be able to be controlled. And then we play another game that I call Ninja. And I know, Owen, as we spoke about, ninjas are awesome. Play a game Ninja where you have to move very slowly to be able to, like, grab the treasure, and you can't make any noise. And if you noise, I am the samurai and I will come around and I will see you. And then we send you back to the beginning. And so it works on that self-control. And so those kind of things are very helpful if you have a child or you yourself are dealing with ADHD, to be able to increase that ability to stretch out your concentration when you're not really as interested in what you're dealing with.
That makes
with.
Sense. That sounds like a good treatment. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences will help me with my impulse control about watching the Oscars. They're delaying it 2 months. I'll have to sit on my hands. It normally comes in, what, January or February?
February, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be till April or May. In fact, they don't know how they're going to do it, but they just figure, well, let's instead of February 28th, how about April 25th? Part of that is also to extend to the eligibility time, right? Because I don't think anybody's going back to the theaters anytime soon.
No, I just got an email open up, so I don't know what that's about.
Anderson Andy was saying Lowe's is opening up. So
yeah,
that's,
yeah, they, I don't know, like half capacity.
I'm not going to a movie theater. Are you crazy?
That's why they've also softened up the eligibility requirements so that you no longer have to have a run in new approved theaters in New York or Los Angeles. Now streaming first titles are going to be where that. See, that was a fun moment though. A couple months ago, when we were realizing that, well, now the only movies that technically will have qualified for Oscar consideration this year are stuff that opened before like March 8th, which is usually the dumping ground.
That's the worst movies. Product. Yeah.
And wouldn't it be great if the Harley Quinn movie was suddenly like up for best picture?
We have to go through all the movies that came out in the first 3 months and put our list, our nominations together.
Suddenly Lifetime movies are.
Wow.
And for best actress, Meredith Baxter Burney in My Child, What Have You Done With My Child on the Internet?
And if you were thinking you were going to use the Disney Plus free trial to watch Hamilton when it comes out July 3rd, no, you got to pay to be in that room where it happens. They are now discontinuing their free trials, knowing perfectly well that you Hamilton fans would do anything to see it for free. So you might, we're just weeks away. I'm excited. July 3rd, I'm going to lock myself
in.
I'm going
to watch it for the 50th time. And I'm so excited about it.
Are you a Hamilton fan?
I'm not. We discussed this before.
Yes, that's what I thought.
We discussed this before. I remember this.
That's what I thought. Yeah. You hate it.
So excited. I didn't hate it. I just
you have no opinion.
He was very quiet when we played over and over again.
I know. He was like so bored. I bet I know what he wants. I bet you I could trade you your fine new grill for the Boston Dynamics Spot robot, now available for $74,500. Would you
he
like
probably
one?
Would, but that would be because he would be selling it to get a better grill.
You get 10 isn't good that, grills for that.
Isn't that called the Leo Dog?
The Leo Dog. High precision motor control. I actually have one in my...
What about having that patrolling your yard?
It's so scary. This is the robot that climbs stairs. It dances. You can kick it and it won't kick you back until later. And notice it will also sleep on your office floor.
No one would break into your house.
Oh, man. I noticed I have one in my shopping cart right now.
What? Yep.
Yeah, from Tuesday.
Huh? $75,000.
I only have to give him $1,000 now.
Uncle Leo, can we split it and then do a timeshare with the dog?
I'll tell you what, I don't want to jinx anything, but I sent an email asking for a 30-day press loaner.
Oh,
and if I do get one, you can get yourself out here to New England.
Can I ride
it? I'll let you play with my spot.
I can drive up. There's no cops on the road. I'll be up there in 2 hours.
We will.
The funniest part is it doesn't do anything, really, right? No. It's just for, like, patrolling or entertainment.
Although
it's a platform. It's like Lego. It is what you want it to be. If you want it to be a devil dog that kills upon your merest whim, or just brings you a beer, it's all up to you and your sense of morality. good luck to everybody.
Georgia, I called Georgia my twit wife. You just sound just like a wife just now. Don't tell me what it doesn't do that I don't need it. Just support my dreams. Support my dreams, my needs, and I need this dog to protect this house. It's for our family, Georgia.
Oh, well, what are you going to do with that? You know it doesn't do anything. What would you do with that? It's just a... Yes, another one of those things going to end up in the garage, and I'm going to have to clean it up later.
Wouldn't you go walking with it just next to you? Like that?
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Walk your dog.
I would take a run with this just for, like, I've always wanted to have a robot friend, right?
Put the dog back on the screen. Come here.
You want to see the dog? All right, wait a minute. Hold on.
Put the dog back.
I'm looking at Flash right now here. Boston Dynamics.
Ooh, that's a good name for it. Flash.
Flash.
If you want Flash, one of these dogs.
The robot dog. You wanna see the robot dog? Here it is in the rain.
Hey, it's waterproof.
You see it move yet? Watch it move.
It's so good. It's so scary. Look at that. Oh, that's wait a minute. Let me turn on the sound. You got to hear the sound too. This thing.
What does it do?
Oh, they're not. They're not letting. It goes, 90 minutes on a charge. Look at that.
It opens doors too.
It could do anything. Plays jazz music.
Dances.
It does dance. Look at that.
It's unnecessary. I already have a dog.
Oh.
Unnecessary. I already have a dog. You see?
No, but this dog doesn't poop.
Yeah, this you don't have to clean up after this
dog.
You
have to plug it in. This one you have to plug in.
Look at this. Yeah. What about that, Aaliyah?
So terrifying.
Well, you can train the dog to open the door too, but I don't hear that. I don't hear any kind of. I don't hear common sense reasoning. I want this dog.
I want
it's not
to.
Like we're going to be able to afford to send the kid to college in 18 years anyway. That's going to be like $80 million. Wouldn't she learn a lot more by learning how to like outrun this dog?
All right, last story of the week. I teased it. Flash finally dies December 31st, 2020. I don't mean they're not going to ship it. I don't mean you can't download it. I mean Flash content will not run after December 31st, period.
I'm super sad about this.
Yeah.
What?
Back in my formative years when I first started out on the internet, I used to make a killing making little squibbly lines dance on websites and charging people an exorbitant amount of money. I have an affinity and a heart place for that Flash and the money that I got to charge people. And a little tear goes out my heart, just like Intel. I will get buried in the back with them Intel chips. But you know, Flash was good to be back in the day. So I appreciate you, Flash, and I thank you for your service. I thank you for your service.
All I can say is that now that all the Homestar Runner cartoons are on YouTube, I'm good. That's the only reason I wanted Flash to keep on going.
Let's see if I can. Here is the best Flash sites ever from creativeblock.com. The Nike Air, Monocrafts. These are all animated, beautifully animated, nrg.be. But they all launched in the 90s. Do you remember It's Comcastic? 2005. PDK launched in 2004. Philips Body Groom. Domain name shaveeverywhere.com. Launched in 2006. That gives Flash a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Red Universe. Tokyo Plastic. Leo Burnett, the ad agency. Audi R8. Neostream. They'll all be gone. None of them will work. Let's see. The number one Flash site, Vodafone Future Vision.
Oh, that went somewhere.
The best Flash site ever. I wish I could see it.
That says something, though. That being the best Flash site says something.
Let me click the link. Oops. The page you were trying to reach does not exist. Bye-bye, Flash. So we hardly knew ye.
Now, it was a long time ago, so I might be misremembering, but don't we have Flash to thank for monkey punching advertising technology?
Yes. I was talking about that this morning.
Oh, yes.
Punch the monkey to win a prize. And it was going back and forth like 10. You're going, punch it. Folks, you are the best Twit panel ever. Everybody is in agreement. It's so nice to have you on. Yay. This is so much fun. Andy, you fit right in. Because honestly, Georgia and Owen have a thing going. It's been going on for some time. And I was worried you might be the fifth wheel here. But you just fit right in, didn't he? He was just.
He did.
I'm like the designated driver for arguments
throughout the whole episode. His giggles, when you go back and listen to her, are on par right behind Georgia Dow's giggles.
Well, because you kind of did yourself in, because every time you said something, I'd be too busy salivating over ooh brisket, the kind where you drop it in the aluminum pan, it just disintegrates into little chunks of pork, and I really was beyond the ability for rational reaction.
By the way, a number of people in the chat room are saying, no, the best Flash site ever was Zombo.com. But here's the good news. It's HTML5 now. So you can go to HTML5Zombo.com. Yep. And you've still
got to change to survive. Got to change with the times.
Got to keep up with the times.
Adapt or die.
You can still get Zombo.com.
Palm Trio could have learned a lot from Zombo.com. Better management, better leadership.
That's Andy Iannocco. You catch him on Mac Break Weekly this Tuesday and on WGBH in Boston most weeks. He's at IHNATKO.com. It's great to have you, Andrew. Really
great
appreciate
to be here.
It.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, Owen, JJ Stone, Doctor.
Go to Georgia and come back to me.
Because he wants to do a final farewell. And we got to tell everybody that IQMZ.com/the system is the absolute place to go to get a little education. Georgia Dow, she's got her own site, anxiety-videos.com. There's no Flash there, just a lot of great videos to help you sleep better, be a better parent, reduce the anxiety in your life. If you are feeling stress and strain at this time, Georgia has kindly offered to take your emails at georgia@westmounttherapy.com. And you stopped doing the electroshock therapy. You don't do that anymore, right?
No, don't do that. No brains, no
sensors on the temples, nothing. Nope. Thank you, Georgia.
Thank you.
And now, as always, we'd love to end the show with a little homily from the Right Reverend Owen J.J. Stone. Reverend Dr. Stone.
So first and foremost, to Uncle Leo, thank you.
Well, thank you for buying it and for sharing it.
Leah, my daughter, not the Dominator computer, has today broken $1,000 sales on her Hygiene Queen. That was her goal, to make $1,000 before she turned 13. In a couple weeks, she's going to be a 13-year-old, so she met her main goal. And
Leah,
I wanted to tell you,
that's so great.
That I love her. She is before the computer. I did make it sound like it's Leah, the computer,
the smoker. No. Everything. You've just been everything else, and it's Father's Day. You're supposed to be talking about me.
Look, I got the smoker for you.
Wait a minute. I don't think that's what Father's Day means.
I got the smoker for you.
Are you sure?
I love you so much. Now go away while I talk to the
LEIYAH.com, the hygiene queen. She's got beard oil. She's got moisturizer. She's got soap. Look at the Barber Father's set.
Oh, that's so nice.
Get out there. Buy that. Support Leah. The King James II, a.k.a. the Barber. Look at this.
That's the number one selling soap right there. King James is
What does that smell like?
Seller. It smells like, honestly, it smells like a high school guy wearing Jacquard that had all the ladies. That's exactly it. First guy in your high school to have cologne on, that's exactly what it smells like. And everybody loves it and
they
adore it.
There's the ruler, a.k.a. Crunched Berry.
There's Crunchberry, like Captain Crunch. I'm just saying, if you want to wake up,
there's no actual cereal in that, though. There's the ruler that smells like coffee, Panda Clean, the Morocco moisturizer. Does that have argan oil in it? Because I love that stuff. I can't get enough of that stuff.
I like argan oil. So talk about the kid. Let me tell these people the importance so we can get out of this episode.
Yes.
People yell, I always make it too long. Okay.
Yes.
So the world is a crazy, terrible, horrible, beautiful, amazing place, okay? Even though it's a dumpster fire, it smells like lavender petals, all right? So let me just say that. IQMZ.com, which you never hear me promote or tell anybody to follow me or do anything. Uncle Leo does it. I don't ever promote myself. But at IQMZ.com/the system, you can find videos about a study that will definitely explain to anyone who's a child or an adult about how racism works. It'll give you a history lesson in 15 minutes by my friend Romney Malco that will tell you about the system of oppression. It'll remind people that in 1985, there was a bombing by the police department in Philadelphia where they destroyed an entire city block, killed 12 people, 5 children, and no one was prosecuted for that. The Tulsa bombing and massacre, it'll tell you about that. It'll tell you why people protest and why people are so angry. And you can watch videos about it. You don't have to read. You can just go ahead and watch them, and it'll give you some things that you could do personally, because people ask me all the time what they could do or how they can get more information. So I put it all in one little section for you to go look at and read if you want to do it, if you want to share with someone else who's a little bit hard-headed, but you know they have the right heart and you just want to nudge them. I think that this will help you nudge them, and I will leave that on my site until, you know, we fix everything in the world, so that's probably indefinite. But go there, check that out for me, iqmz.com/the system. And I'd also like to remind you that I know for a fact, 100%, that protesting works. Because when I complained about not being on this episode with my twit wife, it has now come to 2 episodes in a row that I've been here. So don't you ever stop protesting. Don't you ever stop getting in the
You're always going to be on.
Because I did it, and Uncle Leo gave me what I deserve.
By the way, you have the fight. You have, I'm going to, I haven't seen, and I am going to absolutely watch Romani Jones, Malco's video, but you also have something I have seen, the Kimberly Jones video, which I saw on This Week Tonight and blew me away and was so right on. And actually, I've been looking for it ever since. So thank you for putting that up there. How can we win? And it is challenging to watch as a white person, but it's very important information. All of this is good stuff. Thank you on for making this page.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
God love bless. Everybody. Stay safe. We love you, Owen. We love you all.
I've been stopped 87 times in 3 years, and I'm still here. I know how to maneuver in these streets.
Stopped right. not by Owen J.J. Jones, J.J. Stone fans, I might add, but by the men in blue. Yeah. Well, please take care of yourself, okay?
Doing good. Love you guys. Right. Love the channel,
nice,
too.
You be nice out there to Owen, because he's a good man. He's a good man. Y'all are. Happy Father's Day, everybody. We love you. We're glad you were here. Thank you, Georgia. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Owen. Thanks to you for listening. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon. It's becoming a love fest because I've just decided I'm only having the people I love the most on. And you know what? Oh. That's fun. Aww. That's the way to do it. What was I thinking?
We love you too, Leo.
Having all those people I hate on. That's no good. I'm only going to have people I love on from now
on. The most important thing about the love, Uncle Leo, is?
What's that?
It means that another twit is in the can.
Oh! He got it in!
Doing the twit.
Doing the twit. I already have a big green egg. I'm not getting rid of that. Now I got the Traeger. Can I talk my wife into the big, into, what is it called? The woodwind?
I'll text her. I'll take care of it for you. I got you. She loves me.
Write this down. I'm just concerned about our friend Andy, who only has a little hibachi for grilling. That's why I sent him our big green egg, and now we have nothing.